Hey. How you guys doing? How was lunch? How many of you guys ate in your hotel room? Smart, smart, smart. I did too. Chicken tortilla soup. It was so good. Oh my gosh, crock pot. Okay, so real quick, I'm just going to remind you guys that we have a hashtag contest going on social media. So Danny's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you check it out for the assignments. Complete the assignments. Make sure you hashtag with my first steps and so we can see your entries. And we'll be awarding cash prizes for the best ones tomorrow. So you make sure you get on that this evening and tomorrow morning. And that's it. I'm going to pass it over to my girl, Carradine. Go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, guys. How was lunch?
Good. Everyone back and ready to go? We just want to welcome everyone back and also welcome those that are viewing abroad. Welcome back. Those of you coming in, go ahead and take your seats. We're excited to get going. Please remember to put your phones back on silent. We probably had them on while we were at lunch, and so the volume's back up like we all do. So make sure that those are back on silent so no one's phone is ringing while Danny is up here talking. There is 30 event specials for the DJU available here. There's 30 left, and the first 10 that get today, we will receive the first year of the Insider membership for free, which is huge. That's a huge opportunity, and there's a lot that comes along with that membership, so that's something that you should look into. So remember that this weekend is being recorded and that you will have access through it for it through your back office. Also, like she said, the hashtag contest. So I just want to give you a little bit of my story. This is my first time sharing my story on stage, so I'm a little nervous. But I'm excited. I was just asked, like, seriously 3 minutes ago to share my story. So we'll see how this goes. So my name, like Ray said, my name is Carradine Roundy. I am from Wyoming. Is there anyone else from Wyoming here? Yeah! I was thinking, I'm like, I think I'm the only one that I've met from Wyoming. That's cool. I'm glad. So prior to plugging into Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success, my husband and I were completely drowning in debt. We got this new job, and we increased our income, so we increased our way of living, which is what happens. And we were young, we were just married, and we completely bought more than we needed. We bought a new house, we already had a truck loan, we bought a new car. We lived to the max, and our marriage started to struggle, and we got to where all of our fights were about money constantly. And my husband had a really good job, so we had plenty of money. That was not the issue. It was that we never kept any of it. We spent it on stuff we didn't need. So just a little bit of background. It's just my husband and I, we have no kids, and we bought a 6-bedroom house. I know. Well, that's just, we had the money. The bank told us we had the money we could, so we did. And so obviously we spent the money to fill those rooms in that house on stuff we didn't need. So anyways, our marriage was failing. I mean, we were young, we just got married, and all of our fights were over stupid stuff that was unnecessary. And so I remember one time, just like a quick little look into what it was like. I remember one time sitting in front of our fireplace, our nice fireplace in our nice house, and we were fighting over how we were going to pay for Christmas for our families. And that was the eye-opener for us, that something had to change. And so we made a decision, and I started a business, and that's what actually opened me up to DannyJohnson.com and to First Steps to Success. And so after coming out of First Steps to Success, we have now been able to pay off, this is crazy, we have now been able to pay off just over $300,000, which is completely crazy because we just thought debt was something that you live with. You know, you're always going to have a mortgage. You're always going to have a house payment, you know, car payments. That's just the way life goes. And little did we know that that's not the case. So we now live in a smaller house. We love it. We actually, I have less house to clean, which I'm good with. And we live so much more simple. And our marriage is completely turned around. We no longer fight about money. We wonder where we're going to invest into next and how soon we're going to get, you know, the mortgage paid off. And that's exciting to us. So everything's just completely changed. And, you know, the relationships that we've been able to grow with other people that are wondering what we're doing, that's been amazing because we've met so many great people. And learning what Danny's going to teach this afternoon has helped us grow to being people more than anything. And that, like, we hated people before, both of us. Like, we never had those skills. And so I'm really excited for this afternoon. This afternoon's going to be completely transforming to you, as far as being, like she mentioned this morning, you know, like, your business is people, your business isn't your product. And so with that being said, I just want to have you help me welcome back my mentor and America's favorite millionaire, Danny Johnson.
I found the button. Hi. Isn't this awesome? Okay, how long did it take you guys to pay off $300,000 worth of debt? The microphone is in the mouth.
Right. Hold on, let me think. We started in, it's been just over a year. Like 14 months.
How many months?
Like 14.
14 months, $300,000 worth of debt. Come on now. That's incredible. You're going to see her on the Danny Johnson Show here soon in the next couple of months. We just recorded her interview. And I was amazed at what came out of that story. Like, here, now look, he gets a higher paying job. They were more comfortable when he made less money. He gets a higher paying job, and who seduced them into $200,000 worth of debt? The bank. The bank seduced them and said, you can buy this house. They have no kids. Buy a six-bedroom house. What did you have to do when you bought the six-bedroom house?
Fill them. I just bought junk that I didn't need.
So she fills the house with furniture that she does not need. And then there she's living paycheck to paycheck. And she had to wait till the husband's check came in to go to the grocery store. After he had this huge promotion, after he gets the big raise, they now are strapped financially. And why were they strapped financially? Because of the bank? No, because of their stupidity. Because they made the choice to buy a house that they did not ever want nor need, and then fill the house, and then the new vehicles, and the clothes, and the eating out. And the, wait, what were you doing for Christmas? Spoiling who?
Everyone we wanted to. Everyone we could. Our families. Everyone.
Because they needed it, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They needed all those gifts.
We had to live up to what we put ourselves up to. You know? Like, you do. You. Our ego wanted us to, you know, be on that pedestal that we put ourselves on.
See, we're doing good.
We had to stay there. We had to do what it took to stay there, even if that meant emptying the bank account.
How awesome for them to have the courage to say, no more. I'm stepping out of this. This is a joke. Saved their marriage. Brought harmony back into their relationship. Took the pressure off these kids. Now they have investments. Now they're heading towards wealth and financial independence. Instead of trying to impress everyone around them with cars, houses, gifts, and clothes, and eating out all the time, they've got, how does that feel to have paid off $300,000 worth of debt in 14 months?
I can't even tell you. Like, the stress that we have day after day is, like, especially the money stress is not there. But the biggest part for me was my husband was the one that went to work every day, and you know, he had the stress to go to work and make that mortgage payment. That's why he went to work, was to make that mortgage payment. And that was so sad. Like, to me, that was eye-opening to me, because it's like, I have been the one stressing him out to go to work to make the mortgage payment on this big house we didn't even need. And so when we no longer had that, his stress level went down, and he got promoted at work.
So another increase of income.
Yep.
As a direct result of living frugal and living well below your means.
You reap what you sow.
You do. And the bottom line is, if you're stressed out every day at work, how well are you performing? You don't perform well at work when you're stressed out at work. And you bring the problems from home to the job. And those problems then bleed into the job. They change how you treat people that you work with, and now you decrease your value in the marketplace. But when you decrease your stress or financial stress by getting rid of crap you do not need, then, bam, now you feel on top of the world, and now you can slay the demons that need to be slayed at work every day. Give her a hand. Good job. So proud of you. I'll take that. All right, let's get started with what she promised. I saw you, and I thought to myself, did he bring me Lucky Charms again? The answer is yes, chocolate Lucky Charms. This little, what do you call this, fling that I had a number of years ago with chocolate Lucky Charms has been captured on an audio. And randomly, him particularly, brings me every time he's here a box of chocolate Lucky Charms, packed with GMOs and every other thing that will kill you, but dang, they're good. You are so sweet, both of you guys. They taste so good. They're so darn good. You see, Lucky Charms by themselves are gross, but chocolate Lucky Charms is a whole nother story. It's terrible. I'm trying to work this out right now, and that does not help me. But I have 6 grandkids at home and 2 teenage boys. Pow. Done. It's all gone with 8 people, for sure. Knowing me, I'll be digging my hand while I'm driving home. Because I get to drive home from this event. I'll be driving and... gotta have the organic milk with the GMO Lucky Charms. Okay. Well, let's get started. Let's talk about what is going to help you get promoted in life. One of the things that we talked about earlier was the law of reaping and sowing. I wrote about it in First Steps to Wealth. Who has read the book, First Steps to Wealth? Awesome. Who has not read the book, First Steps to Wealth? Okay, what are you waiting for? Okay, chances are you were able to get it for free. Read it. It's a really good manuscript, if you will, for your life and helping you to advance yourself with the law of promotion, which I wrote about in the book, First Steps to Wealth, the law of promotion. Let me give you the law. And this is the 9th characteristic of 2% of the population. They understand how to get promoted. Let me help you understand how to get promoted. How you get promoted is by being faithful with the little things. He who is faithful with the little things will be made ruler over much, much more. Faithful with the little things. What are the little things? The pennies, nickels, and dimes. The little things, your current income. As you might see it as a little thing now, if you want it to grow, you have to be faithful with the little, not spending all that you make. When it comes to your career or business or family, it's the relationships. Those are the little things. Those are the things that people discount, that don't think make a difference, that make all the difference. 98% of the population does not think that their personal relationships at home make a difference in their financial relationships outside of the home. They absolutely affect everything in your life. Everything starts with you personally and all the emotional factors that tug on you, which is including the spouse if you have one, or the kids. And if you're single and you don't want to be married, man, awesome. Good for you. You have less money to spend. You have more freedom than everybody else does. You get to design your own life, never having to take into account anyone else that you live with. Ever. Like, ever, 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 ever. Like, you do not have to take your dreams and goals and go, how will the husband or the wife feel about this? And you don't have to worry about selling them on your vision. And you don't have to worry about selling the kids on the vision. You don't have to worry about getting cooperation with anyone you live with because you live by yourself. So you have a crazy amount of time in your life to do anything you want to do. Who here is married wishing they were single? You're like, I wish you would have told me that 20 years ago, Danny. I would have not gotten married. No. Marriage has a lot of great blessings to it, a lot of fringe benefits that I'll be taking full advantage of Monday night around 9 p.m. Exactly. Anyway, however, there's different layers of all kinds of things. You know, everything has assets and liabilities. And, you know, there's some good things about being single. You don't have the asset of sex whenever you want. And being married, you do have access to that if you're good. I'm saying good to your spouse. Not that you're good to yourself, but that your spouse feels that you're good to them in conversations and the honey-do list and keeping the house in order and dinner and get rid of the messy bun and lose some weight. Good. Okay. We're going to change the subject now because I'm digging a hole. And I like the hole that I'm digging, so I really need to get out of here. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. But now that there's so many kids in these events, I have to talk in code, especially when my kids are around here. My son, Micah, is terrible. He's awful. He's like, yeah, you guys, go have some quiet time. I'm going to go put my earbuds in. Thanks, Micah. Yeah. Anyway. How many of you have found challenges in dealing with people? How many of you would say it's one of your greatest challenges in your life? We got someone with two hands in the air. If he could keep his butt in the seat and put 2 feet in the air, I think he would have done that too. And I'd be right there with you, baby. How many of you hate rejection? And you hate it when you're misunderstood? How many of you hate having to convince people of your ideas? I mean, you can feel the pressure inside of you, like you can feel the fear of rejection coming up and you just don't want to have that conversation, but yet the idea is something that you just have to talk about. How many of you would like to know how to build relationships with anyone to where the communication is not misunderstood, you will not be rejected, but you'll create cooperation and people jumping on board with whatever it is that you are trying to tell them about, to sell them about? How many of you would like to know how to do that? How many of you would like to have that skill at work with your coworkers or your boss or your employees or your clients? You'll be able to do this with your spouse, most importantly, your kids, family, mom, dad, sisters, brothers, aunts and uncles, new and old friends, prospective dates, or perhaps a mate if you're looking for one. If you're married, I do not suggest that you try to look for another. It's a disastrous mess. Creates lots of problems. You will be able to do this with the teachers of your kids. If you are a teacher, you're going to be able to do this with your students, the people that you work with each day. There's a one-size-fits-all for success in this one category, and that is with the core rapport methodology, which is what I'm about to share with you. This is an unconventional way of building business, yet it's a way that business has been built since the beginning of time. It works. It works through all generations. It will continue to work after you and I are dead. It will work for your children. It works no matter what your personality is. It works no matter what is going on in the economy. In fact, it's an important skill to have in a bad economy. It's an important skill to have before the economy takes a dive. How many of you have been on the planet long enough to watch the economy do this? That's because there's 7 years of plenty in preparation for 7 years of famine. That's how it goes. Some of you are in a famine season. Some of you are in a season of plenty. Those who are in a season of plenty, be wise. The point for the plenty is preparation for the season of less. Most people spend all of the flourishing during the plenty season and have nothing for the famine season. But if you watch the markets and you watch business, this is how it goes. That's how it's supposed to go. We are not ever always supposed to be on top all the time, always, always, always up here. Everything moves like this. Now, in the very beginning of my career, you know, 27 years ago, when I would have a great month, man, I was on top of the world. But then when I would have the following month a zeroed out month, my whole existence would go into depression. The faith that I had to build the big month went flushing right down the sewage system. And it would take me a couple of months to get back on top of my game. I would sit there trying to build the same business, doing the same presentations, trying to get the same sales from the same market. And yet I was speaking with such fear and discouragement. I was presenting myself as someone who did not believe and that was not committed and wondered the whole time whether or not I made a wise decision by starting in business. And all the thoughts of, see, you're going to be a failure. See, it's never going to work. That doesn't happen anymore. Yes, those thoughts attempt to come at my mind, but I know exactly where they come from, and I tell them where back to go, which is back to hell where they belong. They don't belong in my head, and I will not bear the fruit of those thoughts. What I do know is there's a trust in me that I know that this is how things go. That's just how it goes. And the bottom line is that when you fully surrender and you do not try to control the outcome of a thing, then trust can begin to be built in you. Where there's trust, there's faith. And you walk by faith and not by sight. And you don't walk by control. You don't walk by manipulation. But you just know that the activity that you're doing today is going to result in something eventually. And you're not attached to the when. Give up the controls of the when. The when is actually what causes you to fail. I gave myself 20 years, remember? I didn't put myself under pressure. If it takes me 20 years, I'm still going to be doing better than what I'm doing right now. And that was a fact. So that was my goal, was 20 years. And so if you take the timeline off, that you take the pressure off the control of the outcome of when you want it and how you want the outcome to look, then you can truly walk by faith instead of by sight and instead of by manipulation and control. So I'm not going to show you how to manipulate and control things to make them happen faster for you and your timeline and what you think it should be. But instead, I'm going to show you how to have true, long-lasting success. Because in the beginning, when I got on the roller coaster ride of business, and this is the roller coaster ride of business. Are you with me? This is it. This is what it looks like. Oh, wait a second. How many of you found that relationships look the same? Here's the roller coaster ride of relationship. How many have kids? Oh, my goodness. What does that look like? It looks like this, too. Isn't that amazing? So anything that you're involved with looks like this. And guess what? It's supposed to. There's a season for everything. And there's certain seasons where things are up and there's certain seasons when things are down. And write this down. You do not control the season. You are not the master of the seasons. You're in the season, but you're not the one that... How many of you are not the one that changes the weather outside here starting in a few weeks where the temperatures are going to start to come down a little bit? How many of you are not the one that changes the weather? You're not the person with the push of a button that says it's no longer summer, it's now fall. Is that how many of you, it's not your job, right? But what do? We respond to the seasons. We live within the seasons. You cannot dress summer shorts unless you're in Texas. You have to be prepared to wear winter clothes when it's 29 degrees outside, right? You're not going to wear what you're wearing now when it's 29 degrees outside. So you have to prepare for the season. And what we are prepared for determines how many complications we have. So if we're in a season where it's a low, right? Is there anybody here that's in a low season? Okay, if you're in a low season and you don't have a jacket and you're not thinking summer, you're not thinking of what's ahead, you're going to get buried in the winter. And you start to believe that it's going to last forever and never's going to change and everything's always hard. It's always going to be this way and my whole life is always a winter season. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You overdramatic drama queen and king. Come on now, grow up. This season will, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. This season will, it's going to pass. It's not going to last forever. Okay? So in the ebbs and flows of life, what I had to learn to do was get off the roller coaster and be prepared. Be prepared. Winter's coming. Get my jacket. Be ready. I wouldn't go to Russia in March with this. Ever. My toes would crack off in Moscow, in Latvia. You freeze your nose off. I'm surprised I even have one left after that trip. It's cold there. But you don't go there without a parka. You don't go there without scarves. You don't go there without, you know, long johns underneath you. You have to go being prepared for what's to come. And whatever you're prepared for, it's what you're going to get. Here's another thing. You can't change the season yourself. You can endure the season. You can make the best out of the season. And you can learn from the season. And by the way, what you do in that season determines what the harvest is going to look like. What you do or you don't do determines what's ahead. So there's a season of preparation. Some of you are in that season right now. I'm in that season right now. And in the season of preparation, if you are not preparing, if you're not pruning, if you're not looking within and changing what needs to be changed and looking at the weaknesses of how you act in a pruning season, your harvest is going to suck. It's going to suck. A season of planting. Most people are whining during the season of planting. I don't want to work and see nothing. I don't want to try this with my spouse and she's still not going to change. She's still going to be a nag. I tried it once, Danny. It didn't work. Okay, well, that was your planting season. You planted one little seed of corn and you're expecting to get a whole harvest of corn from your wife. Ain't going to happen. You have to keep planting. 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 If you want a big harvest, you got to plant what? You have to plant for it. So when it comes to presenting ideas to people, when it comes to getting people to cooperate with you, to jump on board what your vision is, when it comes to learning how to motivate people, you have to move yourself out of the way. And you have to become a person that actually cares about people, become a person that is concerned about people, become a person that's actually interested in what others are interested in. Let me give you one quick tip that's really important. Find what others are excited about. Don't try to get them excited about what you're excited about. But find out what excites them. Find out what they are really interested in. It could be that they are interested in football. If football, how many of you love football? Okay, so some of you absolutely love football. I could care less about football. Football is, we're not a football family. I know we're Texans, but we don't do football. It's not a big deal to us. However, if football is important to you, I would sit with you and let you tell me about what you love about football, even though I have zero interest at all in football. Football to me is boring. The only thing that's good about it is the guys in the outfits, and that's about it. And that's the only reason why women watch the sport with their husbands, is the really cool uniforms. I'm not going to say anything else. Thus, I don't watch football. I just know what the uniforms look like. They're great colors, orange and white, purple and yellow, blue, black, red. Great jerseys. Right, ladies? Those jerseys are awesome. But if you like football, I don't like football. If I'm going to work on expanding my influential territory, the law of promotion says that I have to be faithful with the little things in order to be made ruler over much, much more, then I must get interested in who is in front of me and celebrate what they celebrate. Think that which is important that they think is important, and now I've gained a friend. I've gained a referral. I've gained because I've given interest, genuine interest in somebody else. Now the natural happens that I will reap what I have sown. So if I first give interest into others and whatever it is that they're interested in, okay? Let's say that you're interested in gardening. All right? If someone's interested in gardening, and let's say you're not, if you get interested in their garden and ask them about it and what they like about it and what tips have they learned along the years and what some of the biggest mistakes they made and what are some of the greatest crops they've ever had, now we have built trust with another human being. So much of the fighting that happens within a home and within an office is because people don't celebrate what is important to others. But instead, they just want to push their ideas or what they're excited about onto someone else, never taking interest in what matters to another person. So, you know, one of my coworkers is big into racing. He loves to race bikes. And so whenever I'm around him, I ask him about that last race or how was it and where, you know, what place did you make and how much are you training? How often are you training? I ask him questions about his love for biking. It's something he loves to do. I don't even know if I still know how to ride a bike. I'm serious. I don't really know if I actually still know how to ride a bike. And when he's telling me about his bike, I don't understand a stinking thing he's talking about. I don't have any idea. Okay, I know what spokes are and I know what a wheel is. I know what handlebars are. But I don't know anything else about the mechanics of a bike. He knows everything there is to know about a bike. So if I met somebody that had an interest in bikes, I could introduce Brian to this person, going, you know, I have a friend that's into bikes. Maybe you two should get together. Maybe you should talk. Maybe you guys have ran some of the, I mean, whatever, you cycled the same races, right? Maybe you've cycled the same races, okay? It's just like, how many of you are really into cooking? Well, if you and I got together, we could, like, cook up a storm together. We could talk about food for hours, talk about our favorite recipes and things like that. But see, look, watch this. How many of you are not into cooking? Okay, so look, so for you, for 98%ers, they go, oh, well, you people are crazy that like to cook. I hate to cook. And they leave it at that. And they miss the opportunity to build a bridge of interest, to build a bridge of relationship, to build a bridge of sowing good seed, of being interested in someone else. It's not the thing, it's the thing they're interested in. It's the person that's interested in the hobby. It's the person that's interested in that color or in that television show or in that football or baseball or basketball. It doesn't mean that you have to like it. It doesn't mean that it has to become your life, but it does mean to honor the person, to sow the good seed, to build the bridge, to expand your influential territory so that you can get promoted. The small things that you get interested in, like football, basketball, dogs. How many of you are into animals? Okay. This girl. Amen. Dog hair. Dogs barking. Dogs peeing. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard for me. It is. But we will post pictures of dogs and cats. Not because I like them. I like people. I feed people. I groom people. Not dogs. Dogs are not my friend. They can be yours. We have another dog at our house right now. For just a minute. It's okay. I can suffer through it for a minute. He's a nice German shepherd. He barks every morning at 7 a.m. It's all right. He's doing fine. His hair is in my dryer. Every time I clean that lint out. Love the dog. Love the dog. Love the dog. But I love the people that belong to the dog, or the other way around. Do you understand? So I choose to have self-control about the dog and to not kill the dog. This dog hasn't provoked any killing yet. It's a good thing. Our son, who had two puppies at our house, those dogs provoked some. I need some inner healing still over that one. But the long story short is that you want to become a person. How you build bridges with others is begin to get interested in the things they celebrate, in the things that they like, and show them, you honor them by showing an interest in that way. Otherwise, we become, well, that's not me. I don't like that. I'm not into that. That's boring. Guess what you've done? You've boxed yourself into a prison. So the only people that you would like to be around are the ones that are just like you. How egotistical is that? How egotistical is that? That the only people, you know, I like to golf. So all you hang out with is golfers? What a boring life you have. How pathetic. The clothes you wear is boring. The people you hang out with are boring. It's all stuffy. There's no adventure in any of that. It's the same thing again and again and again. It's the same routine. It's the same conversations.
How's that Tiger Woods?
He's old. There was one year after my mom broke her neck, we moved to Cypress, California, and directly across the street was this little boy, little black boy, who had a plastic golf set. He was 6 years old. His name was Tiger Woods. No joke. His parents would never let him come out and play with us. His parents had him golfing every day. I guess it paid off. His parents kept him away from the 98%ers on the street. He wasn't socialized. Oh, that poor little boy. I don't think he's a poor little boy. He's a very influential, wealthy, wealthy businessman today. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. He was a little boy across the street. For a minute, like a year, we lived there for 2 years, my sixth and seventh grade year. Anyway. I don't know what any of that you're talking about. Oh, the tennis player's parents did the same thing. Yeah, it seems to work. Anyway, sheltered children. Bummer. Isolate the kids from the 98%ers. Anyway, I don't know if it's such a bad idea. anyway, so building a bridge instead of building walls. When you say, I'm not into that, that's not my style. I don't like that color. That food is not any good. I don't like this, and all you've done is build a prison for yourself, and nobody can please you, and no one wants to be around you, and no one wants to talk to you, because all you say is, I don't like that. That's not my thing. That I don't prefer. No, that's not. So you're just a negative Nelly or Ned. Closed-minded, living in your own cell. Okay? So begin to get interested in other people and celebrate what others celebrate. Love what they love for the sake of what? Loving the person, honoring the person, lifting the person up, edifying the person. These things cause others to like you. Remember I was saying earlier, where does money come from? People, and if they like you, they will pay you. They will pay you. They will want to be around you. They will want to work with you. So you want to become interested in others. And this is where the one size fits all for all people, because success and money is connected to who? People and how we deal with them. Okay. How many of you would like to learn how to compel people to want to contact you, to refer you to their friends, to do the same, no matter what the business or the product or the idea is? Okay. How many of you would like to know how to ace your next job interview or your next job promotion, that you want to get promoted in your career? How many of you want to ace that sucker? Right? Hole in one on that one. What if I told you that I could show you 10 simple techniques where you can use them to help this become a very easy thing? How many of you would follow the 10 simple techniques? Okay. Easy ways to build relationships with anyone you encounter, no matter what their race is, no matter what their age is, no matter what their background is, no matter what their educational status is, it doesn't matter. Okay. I'm going to show you a simple techniques that will cause a bridge to be built with all people, all demographics. So it opens up your market really, really huge. All right. Most of you have very small demographics because you're just looking for people who are just like you. That's a long, hard row to toe. But what you want to do is expand your horizon. And when it comes to that law of promotion, there's three areas that you want to use this law, being faithful with the little concerning money. If you're faithful with the little, if you're trusted with the little, okay, then you'll be made ruler over much more money. The other is with people. Okay, right now you might have five people following you. You might have five people under you. You might have no people under you as far as in your job or in a business or what have you. You might have no influence over anyone in your town that you are aware of, but we all are influencing people. And so the unconventional way that we build business is all through influence and expanding our influential territory based on how we treat those that are around us and those when we are out and about. How we honor those people has multiplied because we reap what we... And the law works that if you are faithful with the ones that are around you, faithful with your coworkers, faithful with the girl at the grocery store, faithful with the guy at the bank, you're faithful with honoring and using these techniques with all those people who seem like they mean nothing in your life, when you're faithful with those, you become ruler over much, much more. So look, I was faithful in a tiny little town. The influence then grew to international influence. We have international influence, some of which with governments, some with schools and universities, with families. Millions of people have heard the name Danny Johnson. How in the world did that happen? Out of my bedroom. A business that was started out of my bedroom. How did that start? How did that happen? I'm going to show you these 10 little techniques is how that happens. Because the law of promotion can't be broken. It will break you if you try to break it. But you put that thing into practice, now your influence grows. And by the way, money follows influence. Why? Because who are you influencing? People. Where does money come from? People. So the greater influence you have in other people's lives, the greater the paycheck that you will generate. The quicker you'll be able to create wealth as long as you're not spending what you're making, okay? The third area where the law of promotion affects is time. If you are not faithful with your time, but instead you waste time, then what comes back to you? Nothing but wasted time. Multiply it in your employees, multiply it in your distributors, multiply with the people you live with, multiply with the people you go to church with. Okay? So money, time, and people. These are the three places where the law of promotion have a powerful effect on. We're going to focus on the people right now. Okay. In just two of the simple techniques, you will see a difference in the way that you talk to people, and more importantly, the way that you respond, how they respond to you. These are tools that I have used for years with my family, with my marriage, with my coworkers, with our clients, with perfect strangers. They're going to work with you, and they work in every single economy. The first thing you got to wrap your head around is that you are in sales. That's the first thing you have to wrap your head around, is that you are in sales. Everybody here is in sales. Whether you realize it or not, you are selling something every single day. How many of you work full-time for an entrepreneur? Okay. You work full-time for someone else, you're in sales. No, Danny, I work in the warehouse. You are in sales. If you do not do your job well, you're selling the boss on firing you. If you do your job according to what you're paid to do, you're selling your boss on keeping you right where you're at. If you go the extra mile and go above and beyond what your job is required, now you're selling your boss on what? Promoting you. Does that make sense? We are all always in sales, no matter what the position is that we're doing. The mother sells the carrot over the Oreo to her son. The father sells getting the homework done over video games to their son. We are constantly selling something to someone. If you are single and you don't want to be, you're out looking, prospecting for someone to become your mate one day. Okay? That is a sales job right there. If you've been single for a long time and looking for a long time, you suck at closing. And you need to learn how to close the deal. Okay? A teacher, the teachers that understand that they are selling information, they're selling knowledge, they're selling success, when the teacher knows that she's got a class or he has a class that has high percentage in grades, kids that show up, a high percentage of kids that actually do their homework, kids are excited about the subject in which the teacher is selling. But when it's a teacher that doesn't understand that teaching is nothing but selling, when they don't understand that, the teacher is giving information, and giving information doesn't excite anybody. It doesn't make anyone want to do anything. So we have to learn the art of selling. We have to learn the art of promoting something so that we get people to jump on board saying, yes, I want to learn this science. Yay. boring. Teacher sell, homemaker sell, real estate agent sells, grocer sell, lawyers, hairdressers, flight attendants. Oh my gosh, United Airlines for years had the worst flight attendants. How many of you ever flown United Airlines? In the last couple years, since they merged with who? Continental had the best flight attendants. So fortunately, that owner of the company who looks like the next president of the United States, he gives me the heebie-jeebies. He absolutely gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. But he obviously saw what Continental was good at, and Continental was awesome with relationship. On the ground and in the air, their service was awesome with how they communicated with the people that were flying. No matter where, no matter what, in the air, on the ground, they were the best. United was the worst. The most crotchety, frigid, wrinkled up, has-been broads from hell. It's true. They were awful. And now, the last couple of years, they've gotten better. Every time I encounter one, I'm like, oh, it's so nice that someone's nice on this airplane. Politicians know how to sell, massage therapists, engineers, contractor, police officers, rocket scientists. It doesn't matter who you are, what you think you do, you are selling every day, and you're selling to people, okay? So the more you master the skill set of selling, professional selling, not amateur selling, not the snake oil salesman, not the door-to-door guy selling you a vacuum cleaner, and not the person at the used car lot with whiskey on his breath from last night and the 12 packs of cigarettes he smoked yesterday and the 2 packs he already smoked today, not that guy. That's not what I'm talking about as far as sales goes. That is an amateur form of sales. What I'm talking about is a professional level of sales. And with professional sales, the client has no idea they're being sold. All they know is, whatever you're talking about, they want it. How many of you'd like to possess that skill? How many of you'd like the skill of that the person does not feel like they're being sold, they don't know that they're being sold, all they know is they want to buy? Okay? That's creating a buying experience for the prospect. The prospect is the person that's about to buy. Okay? How many of you ever been to an Apple store? How many of you enjoy that buying experience? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? The buying experience is amazing. Go study it. Go study the buying experience. They have created a beautiful buying experience that makes people want to buy. Even if you have everything in the store already, you want to buy more of it. Why? Because the culture in which they created, right at the front door, they're greeting you, not in a high professional suit, but in a shirt that says that, hey, I'm one of the guys. Hey, how's it going? Very casual. Let's go here right now. Point number one, everyone's a friend. Okay, you want to build friends first. This is something I learned 27 years ago. Friends first. There is no strangers when it comes to building a reputation. There is no stranger when it comes to building a brand, to promoting a product or a service or idea, to promoting yourself in a job. If you're going for a job interview, don't act like some stiff who's nervous who doesn't know anyone there. Pretend like you've been there for years. Be comfortable. Disarm the people that are nervous around you. And you do that by having the posture of a friend that's been a friend for a really, really long time. Think about this right now. Think about your best friend. You got them in your head? Think about how you talk to them on the phone. Come on, call them right now. Pretend. Tell me how. Hello? Hey, girl! Hey, what's up? How you doing? How's it going? Okay? You're typically smiling when you're talking to that person on the phone. You're actually excited to be with them in their presence, even if it's on the phone, right? You're looking forward to this conversation. You're not,
hello there, this is John Smith. Is Tabitha available?
This is not conducive to building bridges. You just built a wall by acting like a stiff stranger. So don't act like a stiff stranger. I want you to in your mind, look at the person that's about to interview and pretend it's your best friend. So you want to have casual, yet confident, yet somewhat professional in that interaction with them. So you disarm the discomfort by relaxing and being yourself. The reason why I said to pretend like you're talking to your best friend is because you are yourself when you're talking to them. Aren't you? You are yourself. There's no putting on airs. Guess what? People have a liometer. You have one. And how many of you can tell when someone's lying? Right? Get out of this conversation. Get away from this person. Right? And that's usually when someone's putting on a fake. Be yourself. Be yourself. You're comfortable. That makes the other person comfortable. Okay? So number one is friends first. All right? Okay. So the buying experience over at Apple is awesome. So first they greet you as though you are a friend. Hey, how's it going? What can I do for you? Is there anything we can help you find? How's that weather outside? Glad to be in the air conditioning? So they immediately start to control the conversation and ask how they may serve the person. You don't wait in a long line to try to buy a product. They come to you and instantly serve you with their little iPad, checking you out with your product instantly. So it's a pleasurable buying experience. I'm not frustrated. I'm not standing in line. I'm not getting ticked off. I'm getting my questions answered. This is a really nice person, and he's non-threatening. He's not confusing me. Okay? This is a buying experience. Okay? Have you ever been in a high-end clothing store before? I mean high-end clothing boutique. Okay? If you've never been in one, go into one. Leave your wallet at home. And the answer is no when they ask you if you want to fill out a credit card application. But go and experience it, because here's what they're going to do. They're going to ask you if you would like a glass of champagne or a cup of water. Look at her. Oh, it's so nice. Okay, this is service. This is giving the public what they want. It's making them feel special. It's making them feel important. It's making them feel set apart. It's different than Walmart, where someone throws a card at you with all of their sweet four teeth that they have left in their mouth. Okay? So you're selling one of many things. You're selling products, services, ideas, or yourself. Okay? And here's basic what sales is. Number one, it's get the public's attention. Okay? Number one, get their attention. How can you get their attention? What are ways of getting the public's attention? Do something that no one else is doing. She says, do something that no one else is doing. Huh? Okay, can you advertise? Is advertising a way of getting someone's attention? Yes. Advertising where? Billboards, radio, television, Facebook, Instagram, right? Okay, there's signs that can go on cars. What are the ways that get your attention? Flyers, T-shirts, buttons, promotional items. Okay, there's all different kinds of promotional items. T-shirts, business cards, thank you cards. Okay, this is all about getting their attention. So it makes them look and go, what's that? Okay. Then, once you get their attention, is you give a presentation. Okay? After you give the presentation, you do a close. You close them on whatever it is, product, service, or idea, or food that you're selling. Whatever you're selling, now you close them. By asking closing questions, when the close is the best is the assumptive close. Would you like this bottle of wine for $40, or would you like this one for $80? It's not an option to not pick a bottle of wine. Which one would you like? Okay. Would you prefer your steak medium or rare? These are closes. Would you like asparagus along with your steak or a baked potato? Or would you like both? Okay. Those are all side dishes that are additional costs to the overall sell that's being done. All right. All right, number four, and this is where most people miss it, this is the place where they screw it up, is in the follow-up. Following up with the person who has purchased something from you, and then cultivate long-term relationships. All right, so getting their attention, let's go back to when I was homeless, all right? So I had become a customer before I was homeless of a product. And I hated the product. I didn't like it. It tasted terrible. I had gained 25 pounds right after I got married. And at the point when my husband had left, now I was gaining a pound a day. And so when I gained the first 25 pounds, I had answered this ad. The ad got my attention, okay? So number one, how many of you would like to either help grow the business you're working for or grow your own personal business? Okay. Number one, to help grow a business, you have to increase the exposure. All right. So that means increase the attention that the business product or service is getting, okay? And how, for those of you that are employees of somebody else, you can increase your value by increasing the exposure of the business you're working for. That's how you increase your value. You look for ways to bring in customers that are non-conventional to how the business is currently getting customers. Or maybe what you can do is be like the salespeople that aren't getting the sales and go out there and get other sales. So who do we expose the business, the product, the service, the idea to? Who do we expose it to? Humans. That's who you expose it to. Humans. Okay? Who qualifies as a human? Any human in the house, raise your hand. Okay? So who do you expose your job to, your product that the job is selling? Every business is selling a product or a service. Every single one of them. So who do you tell about the product or the service to?
Everybody.
Who's everybody?
Your friends,
your family members, your coworkers. Okay, now look at this. Every human being knows 2,000 people you do not know. Every human you come in contact with knows 2,000 people you do not know. That's if they're 21 years old or older. By the time we're 21, we know 2,000 people. That's according to social science. So if we increase exposures, that means that we get the word out to other people. We're getting their attention about the car that the car lot is selling. If I work for a car lot, I'm going to let my friends, family members, I'm going to let my past coworkers, I'm going to let my friends of friends know about it. I'm not just going to depend on my boss to bring me leads. I'm not just going to depend on the job to bring me the sources to where I can get more leads. If I'm going to be a 2%er in the workforce, if I'm going to be what we call an employeepreneur, that's an employee that's becoming an entrepreneur, that person is going to look for outside sources to build a clientele so that they can increase their value at the job by increasing the sales of the business. It's not the owner's, not the only, the most people think that it's the owner's job to increase the sales. It's the whole team's job to increase the sales. It's the whole team. The owner took the risk. The least you can do is help grow the sales. Okay? So one way of my heels keep poking through that tape. It's awesome. So increase exposure. That's one way of increasing growth in your business. The second way of increasing growth is increasing conversion. All right, so what's a conversion? It's when someone, when we get their attention, we then present whatever the product or the service or idea is. We present that to them. In that presentation, now comes to the decision-making time. Will they buy or not? And if they're going to buy, how much? And if they're going to buy, how much? How many more times will they do it? What determines the repetition of the client is whether or not we follow up and whether or not we cultivate the relationship with the person, all right? So increasing conversions. I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. The third way of increasing business growth is increasing scalability. Scalability is when you multiply your efforts. So for example, my business way back when started with me, okay? So here I'm a customer of a product I did not like. However, I'm asking myself, I need to get out of debt. And I need a way to make extra money. How many have ever been there before? All right, I have a $35,000 debt. The simple math told me that I needed to supplement my income. Because my job, I made $1,500 a month working 12-hour shifts. 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. every day, 5 days a week, was my shift. So when I did the math, $1,500 a month, first of all, it was going to cost me $4,500 to get into an apartment by myself. So that was a problem that I had. So I need $4,500. Right now I'm making $1,500 a month. How many months before I can get into an apartment? 3 months before I can get into an apartment. I was homeless for 1 month already. I was done being homeless. So I had to solve the problem of making more money so I could get myself into an apartment. Does that make sense? So that's how I started the business. It wasn't that I found a great product. It wasn't that I found something I was excited about. I was super excited about not being homeless anymore. Okay? That was my motivation for starting that second business, is I don't want to be homeless anymore. I need to solve this problem. So I found a roommate, and I made an extra $2,000 on top of the $1,500, which was how much? $3,500. Because I had a roommate, hello? It didn't take me now 3 months, but I moved in 2 weeks later. Actually, it was less than 2 weeks. January 5th, I moved into my first apartment after being homeless, okay? So the business started first with me, okay? Scalability is when you begin to multiply your efforts through other people. So for example, it started with me. I started with a product that I did not like. And so what I did is I put out some simple flyers to get attention, to get people to call a phone number. Okay, now listen, I'm not a marketing specialist, and I certainly wasn't one back when I was a little drunk, druggy whore. Because that's what I was when I started my business, okay? I'm just telling you the truth here. So I was a tramp and a half, and I don't have any marketing skills to speak of, so what did I do? I did the only thing that could be done. I looked at the ad that I answered that was a newspaper. It was this big. I hand wrote it on a piece of scratch paper, wrote the same exact words out, exactly the ad that I answered. If I answered it and I bought that product more than a month ago, there's a good chance somebody else has answered that same exact ad. So I simply copied the ad, I hand wrote this flyer, and the next step was, here it came down to the bottom where it says call now. I had no phone number. So now what do? I have no sinking phone number. So what did I need to do? Someone says, get a phone number. Okay, well, those are easy. Voicemail phone numbers. They're cheap, right? Well, they're cheap when you have money. But when you don't have any money, they're not so cheap. So I utilized a skill that I'm about to teach you to get a phone number on a promise. Not payment, but a promise. The guy gives me the phone number. By using this skill I'm about to show you, I call him, I take control of the conversation, I'm smiling while I'm on the phone, I ask him about his business, I ask him about his services, I found out how he started his business, all from a payphone, plumping quarters into the payphone. I'm a cocktail waitress, so I've got coins. I'm plopping quarters in, he's telling me about his business. Danny, man, I feel like I've known you my whole life. What were you calling for to begin with? I said, oh, I actually am interested in a voicemail. He goes, oh, where are you at? I said, I'm in Waikoloa. He says, I'm all the way in Kona. Listen, you don't have to drive here to sign any contract or anything like that. Listen, just drop a check in the mail for $15. I'm going to waive your setup fee. Do you have a pen and paper right now? Because I can give you your phone number now. Why? Because I gave you number one. What was number one? Friends first. Friends first. I talked to him as though he was a friend already. I instantly began to ask him questions. I controlled the conversation to find out what he was interested in. How long has this business been here? What kind of services do you have? How did you even start this kind of a company? I'm totally interested in entrepreneurship. How did you even start your business? How do you feel that it's going? Are you married? Do you have kids? He starts just talking. Man, I feel like I've known you my whole life. What were you calling for? I need a voicemail. You told me you had those kind of services, so how does it work? Well, where are you at? He waived the setup fee, gave me the phone number over the phone, and said, just drop me a check in the mail. If I would have dropped him a check in the mail that day, the check would have bounced. So friends first, controlling the conversation opens up doors for you. It builds bridges with people. When you build a friend, you build relationship. First, business always follows. So then what I did is I handwrite that flyer. I put it up at my post office with the phone number on it. 326-5242 is my phone number. 808-326-5242. I put it up at the post office. 3.5 hours later, I call back. I called to see if I got any phone calls. My voicemail box was full. I left a professional message, by the way, on the voicemail. It's the same exact greeting that I have on my cell phone today, minus you've reached the marketing department, but it's the same exact words. That script for voicemail is in the script books. How many of you own the script books? Okay, so the script book has a voicemail script in there. So I used the same voicemail script, got 25 phone calls, called the first person back, totally botched up the first call. Now, this is where we go to step two, which is giving a presentation. So a presentation could be over the phone. It could be one-on-one in person. It could be, a presentation could be online. A presentation could be recorded audio message. A presentation, I don't know, tell me. How are some presentations that you've seen?
A date.
A date is a presentation. Yep.
In hotels.
In hotels, in conference centers, in conference rooms. Okay, at Starbucks, yeah. Any kind of coffee house, restaurants. Okay, presentations happen everywhere all the time, all right? They happen everywhere. So the second step after you get someone's attention is to get them to a presentation, all right? Okay, let's say that I'm a chiropractor. Okay, I open up my chiropractic office. I have to get people's attention. Just because I open up my chiropractic office, does that mean that someone's going to walk in the door? No. How am I going to get them to walk through the door? Come on, people, this isn't very difficult. You have to advertise somehow. Okay, you have to promote it somehow. So how are you going to do it? Okay, someone says the paper, someone says Facebook. That might work. Okay. How many of you like the cheapest possible way to promote your business? Call your friends and family members, fools. It's cheap. It's free. Some are going to come and get their neck cracked. Some aren't. Some are going to say you suck at it. Some are going to say you're great at it. I don't care what it is that you're selling. Start with a personal list. Start with your own personal list of resources, your own personal list of referrals. That's how we've started every business we've ever had. It's starting with our own personal list. And that personal list has made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Has led to thousands and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of referrals. No advertising. None. So, that's one place to start. So who do you put in front of a presentation? Humans. Where do you find the humans? Talk to people. They're everywhere. They're all around you. There's money walking around all over you. It's walking around all around you. Look behind you. That's money. Look to your right. That's money. Look to your left. That's money. Look in front of you. That's money. There's money all around you. Money and opportunity is surrounding you. Look again. Look behind you. That's money and opportunity. To your right, money and opportunity. Even if they don't look like they have any money or opportunity, guess what? They know 2,000 people you do not know. They know 2,000 people you do not know. Check this out. Who here is over the age of 21? 21 and older. Wow, can we do the math? How many millions of people do we know right here in this room? It's a lot. So, getting their attention, giving a presentation. I began to read a script over the telephone. Actually, the first call, I didn't read a script. I totally screwed the thing up. The guy asked me a question right away. He took control of the conversation. He who is asking questions is in control of the conversation. The person that's doing all the talking is not in control of the conversation. So he asked me a question right from the beginning. I'm like, hi, you know, Joe, this is Danny. You called a flyer in reference to a weight loss program. He says, yeah, how much is it? I said, it's $125. He goes, that's too expensive. Click. Conversation over. So I realized right there that this list of 24 was going to determine whether or not I get into that apartment or if I stay homeless. I'm not going to screw these 24 leads up. So I invest another quarter into calling a competitor. And I answered an ad that they always have running all the time on TV. They have ads running on the radio. And I called them to do some market research. And I did have weight to lose, so this was simple. I did not have to lie. Hi, I'm calling in reference to your weight loss program. What's your name? That's a great question. Right away, they took control of the conversation. Right away, they asked me a question. So I wrote down every question that they asked me. Like, how much weight do you need to lose? What type of diets have you tried before in the past? How do you feel that those worked out for you? Then they went on to say, we're looking for people who are absolutely serious about losing weight. We do not work with people who are not absolutely serious. because of our advertising campaign, we've had an influx of a lot of people, and we're having to do phone interviews to see who's really serious about achieving their goal. So, Danny, how serious are you? They created an interview for me and made me want their product by getting me to talk instead of them talking. All they did was ask questions and draw out of me a desire to want what they had because they were pinpointing to find what my need was. Okay, great. Let me explain how our program works. And then their close was telling me stories. So, Danny, are you ready to get on your way to skinny, happy, and healthy, just like Joanne, who's just lost 150 pounds on our program? Are you ready to lose that weight so you can get back into that bikini feeling more comfortable in it, just like Susan, who has lost 75 pounds in the last 6 months using this program? Are you ready to stop gaining that pound a day that you said that you were gaining so that you can get on your way to losing the 50 pounds just like Steve just lost? If so, welcome aboard. Where would you like your product sent to? That's all an assumptive close, and the close included testimonials. So I wrote all that down on Post-it notes. Everything that they did, all the questions they asked, I wrote it on Post-it notes, put it around the payphone. I called the next person on my list, and I read my Post-it notes. That today is a script inside of the script books that I left in my hotel room. There were five people that are still awake. It's awesome that you heard that, that my script books were in my hotel room. That was seven people that got it that time. There's 10. So get their attention, make a presentation, close the sale, then what? Follow up and cultivate. Cultivate the relationship. So let's show you how to put yourself in a place where you're interviewing a prospect instead of being interviewed by the prospect. You have to flip the table. You have to flip the equation around, because when you go at sales that people know you're selling, now they're guarding their checkbook. Now they're coming up with excuses in their head. As soon as someone starts feeling like they're being sold, here comes the excuses. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Right? How many of you have ever had someone try to sell you something? What were the excuses you gave? I have to think about it. I have to talk to my husband. I don't have the time. I'll call me back in 2 weeks. No. Just no. I don't like sales. I'll call you when I'm ready. Don't have the money. You know, I'm kind of busy right now. How many of you have ever heard these objections? How many of you have heard these objections from your spouse? Isn't that amazing? It's because you were selling without knowing that you were selling. You were selling without knowing that you were selling, and you were selling in an unprofessional way as an amateur. That's why you got the excuses you got. Whenever you sell in an unprofessional way, you're going to get, I need to think about it, I need to talk to my spouse, we don't have the money, call me in 2 weeks, right? Now's not a good time, I'm kind of too busy for that. That's when you're going to provoke those kinds of responses. So it's learning the craft, learning the art of being able to communicate where you're drawing out an eager desire of somebody to want what it is that you are talking about, okay? Number one, with learning how to communicate like that, and write this down, I've already said it once, you need to hear this, is don't be attached to the outcome or the timeline. When you're attached to the outcome and the timeline, you get aggressive and you get anxious. And when you get anxious and aggressive, people can sense it, just like a dog can sense your fear. So they can sense your anxiety, and that makes them uncomfortable, and that makes them wonder if what you're talking about is really that good. Because if you're anxious about it and you're pressuring about it, then it must not be that good. There must be an ulterior motive that is causing this anxiety and this pressure. So you need to be not attached to the timeline, and don't be attached to the outcome. You just have to know and trust by faith that it's going to happen regardless if it's now, it's a done deal. You just have to know it in your absolute knower. And don't ask me how you know it in your knower. You make a decision to know it in your knower. You decide that it's a done deal. Again, beliefs follow words. Do you understand? And then it just recycles itself. Okay? So, number one, don't be attached to the outcome. Don't be attached to the timeline. You're looking to build relationship. And relationship first, business always follows. Relationship first, the goal always follows. So here, let me show you this acronym that we've used for a long time. Actually, you need to pee. We'll talk about that later. 10 minutes, wash your hands. Go pee. Goodbye. Hi. What color was the soap? Clear. Nice. It's soapy. Just gotta make sure and wash your hands because that's gross. I feel like I'm not wearing shoes right now, but that was a nice little break. Okay. All right, we're gonna start with this powerful acronym that I was taught about 27 years ago, and I've used it ever since. And again, with using this acronym, it will help you to have conversations with hard conversations with people. It'll help you to start a conversation. It will help you solve problems because this acronym gets people to talk about themselves, and it gets them to talk about quite quickly what's most important to them, or it reveals to you what their needs are, what their strengths are, what their interests are, and maybe what some of their goals are, which is what you're actually looking for. What you're looking for when we are talking to people and controlling a conversation is you're looking for their sign, and that is not their horoscope. So it's their strengths, their interests, goals, and needs. That's what you're looking for when you're talking to people. If you can find these things out of the people, then you can motivate them. You use what matters to them to motivate them towards the common goal of the team or to the person. The individual has a goal. You help them get to their goal by talking to them about what their strengths, their interests, their goals, and their needs are. So how do we do it? We get them to talk about their family, their occupation, what they like to do for fun, which is recreation, and then their message, your message to them. Now, in the marketplace, being a connector has very high value. When high-level executives are hired, one of the things that determine whether or not they're hired is who they're bringing with them to the table. Who are their contacts? Who do they know? And why? Because every high-level person has a center of influence, and every high-level person needs access to good problem solvers, other people that have other resources, whether it's investment resources or marketing resources or whatever the contacts are that can bring more value to the business. And so if you see yourself running a successful business or being very high up in a business, you've got to wrap your head around becoming a great connector, because you get to those high levels by the connections that you make and the other connections you help other people make. So again, we're going to stay on the same track of the law of reaping and sowing. And one thing that honors people is helping people to connect with other people that will help to grow their business, grow their career, find them a spouse, find them a book that's going to help them, you know, manage their crazy kids better. If they need to lose weight, recommending them to someone else that maybe has a weight loss product that can help coach them or whatever. But it's being a referrer, always referring out resources so that you are a resource center. When you're a resource center, you have high value to other people. You become the go-to person that has the ability to solve whatever problem it is that they have. And the bigger the problem that you help people to solve, the bigger the paycheck you make. So when you get people to talk about their family occupation and what they like to do for fun, number one, it honors them. Because people like to talk about what they are interested in, and people are interested, first in themselves, okay? So they like to talk about what they're interested in, and people are interested in themselves. First and foremost, by our very nature, it's very, very selfish. It's very self-serving. It's very self-gratifying, especially in our culture today. I think more than it ever was, 27 years ago when I got started in business, our culture is much, much more self-gratifying, self-serving, selfish, selfish, selfish to a degree that's absolutely disgusting and absolutely destructive. People don't care how their self-destructive behaviors are affecting those that are around them. They just don't care anymore. I mean, this is the first time ever that I've seen mothers abandon their own children. Like that, you know, young, someone, pregnant teen, giving a baby for adoption, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about mothers who have 3 and 4 kids who are just like, I don't want to be a mom anymore. And she just ups and leaves her kids and leaves the husband with the kids and just says, I don't want to be a mom anymore. And she puts some red lipstick on and goes dancing and partying like she's single and eventually becomes single. And then it's her husband's fault, of course. I would just love to have a... Never mind. It's why I don't do women's conferences, because it would just be abusive. It would. I know it's needed, but still, it's absolutely needed. It would be bad. It would be rather transformational. God help the woman who wants to leave that event the same. Yeah. I just don't feel normal unless there's men around. Just something about men in the house is very comforting. And I believe so much in men. I really do. I believe in men. I want to see men rise up. I want to see them in their rightful position. I want to see them the heads of households. I want to see them heads of companies. I want to see them the head of the nation. I want to see them be awesome fathers. So the women need a spanking once in a while so they can stop emasculating their husbands. Yeah, no, it's the truth. There needs to be an emasculation anonymous 12-step program. There really does. There really does. It's really bad. You know, from women who want to retire their husbands, they want to start a business so their husband doesn't have to work. You have any idea what you're saying and what you're doing to the man? Like, you're emasculating him. You pay your husband's bills, you're emasculating him. You take away his power to be able to earn out in the marketplace, you have emasculated him. You tell him that he doesn't need to work, that you'll take care of everything, you are emasculating him. Completely emasculating him. He was put on this planet to provide for his wife and kids. Period. End of story. And if he's not doing that, he feels like a failure. And when his wife tells him he doesn't have to do that, now she's the one in the powerful position. Now she's the head of the house. Now she's the lead dog, alpha. Woo, 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 dog. And as much as she might like that powerful position, it's killing her every day that she's away from her kids. It's killing her every day that he's not as strong as he once was before she got a hold of him. So there's my little pitch for that seminar we'll do that no one will show up to. It'll be anti-feminist movement is what it is. Seriously. And that whole feminist movement was a full-on governmental ploy, by the way, to increase the taxes. It was. That was a government campaign to get women out of the houses and into the workforce. More taxes to the government. If she's working, there's more spending and more taxes. She's earning money, therefore there's more taxes being paid. So it was a government subsidy program led by a marketing campaign called feminism. Burn your bras, ladies, you're equal to the men. Go get your job and show them that you're equal. It all boils down to money, 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 money. So she did, she burned her bra. She tried to get a job, and now she had to go shopping and get clothes because she couldn't wear what she was working in the home with. So now she's got suits that she needs to get dry cleaned. Nice economic stimulus program. And more than half of her paycheck, in fact, 90% of her paycheck goes to daycare because the kids are being raised by the government now. All government stimulus. That's what it all was about. And now we got jacked up kids who are confused. Addicted to junk food and video games. I'm done talking about politics. Anyway, so now... It's the truth. It's the truth. You got to find out what everyone else is doing and look at it. It's very crystal clear. It's a joke. It's a giant mess. We're now living the mess. We all got to fix it. We have a lot of confusion within our genders today. We don't know who we are. A wife doesn't know what a wife is. A husband doesn't know what a husband is. We just don't know. We haven't seen the examples for years. If you grew up in my generation, you grew up with parents who were snorting lines, smoking weed, and beating each other up. Like, oh, that's a husband and wife. Oh, sign me up. Okay, so family, getting somebody to get a perfect stranger or even a family member to talk about their family, it's very disarming. It makes people feel comfortable when they talk about this. Even if the family's a mess, it makes them comfortable. It's what they know. It's what they're used to talking about. Occupation, recreation. Let me go ahead and demonstrate how to do this, how to start that kind of a conversation. Again, you want to use this on a job interview. If you have a job interview, do not let the interviewee control the conversation. You control the conversation. If you're going in to do a presentation, you control the conversation of those who are going to be listening by pulling information out of them before you ever present your product, service, or idea, or you present your resume to somebody. You want to know what makes the other person tick before you present to them. Now, some of you are going to use that as an excuse. Well, I still don't know what makes them tick. It's been 3 weeks and I still can't figure it out. You don't have 3 weeks. You've got right there in that moment. You've got right there in that moment, especially if it's a job interview. Go in there with the intention of finding a few things out about that person, a few things about that company, a few things about the job position, so that you can wrap your whole presentation around what they said the needs, strengths, interests, and goals are. Now it's a hole-in-one. Okay, so I need somebody that has never been to First Steps before. You are a newbie, and you have no idea what form is. You have absolutely no idea. All right, come on up. I already got it. Come on, just one. Hi, gorgeous. Wow. Hi. How are you? What's your name?
Hello, Raymundo Zarati.
Nice to meet you. Come closer. Raymond?
Raymundo.
Raymundo. Raymundo.
Raymundo.
Raymundo.
Sí.
Zarate.
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 De tres, I'm the third.
De tres.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you from Texas?
I'm from Brownsville. Well, I live in Houston.
That would be Texas.
Yeah. I don't know. From, like, born or where I live?
Texas.
Texas, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. The yes, ma'am gave it away.
That's how I grew up.
I know. It's the right way to grow up. Yes, ma'am, no, sir. That's the way to grow up. So I appreciate that. That's really awesome, and it's a good example.
Thank you.
So thanks for representing Texas so well.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So what do your friends call you?
My close friends call me Ray. Uh-huh. I prefer Raymundo.
Raymundo. Raymundo, we're going to start over here. Have you ever been to Walmart?
Plenty of times. Yes, ma'am.
So we're there right now.
Okay.
In Houston.
Okay.
Okay. Like around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Who's here with you?
Jonathan, actually. Jonathan, Ian, over there.
Cool.
I carpooled with him up.
Oh, you did? You
yes,
work
ma'am.
With these guys?
Yes, ma'am, at a gym called Iron Sports for
nice.
Ninja Warrior.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you guys do martial arts?
Not myself, but Ian does.
Ian's a martial artist?
Yeah.
What art? Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. That's awesome. Two very different arts. Grappling, right? Jiu-Jitsu is mostly on the floor. Yep. And then Muay Thai is like you're going to get kicked in the head. You're going to lose your eyeball before you even saw it coming. It's two great arts. I'm going to make you tap out on the ground in absolute agony, and then you're going to lose your eye. Awesome. That's a good friend to have, especially in Houston, especially downtown Houston. Raymundo, we're at Walmart, and you know, I've got a cart full of toilet paper.
Like a six-pack or like a big old 30 bundle?
No, a giant bundle, dude. I have the giant bundle of toilet paper and paper plates and, you know, miscellaneous items like that. And you're there for whatever it is that you're there for. But this is how I'm going to break the ice with Raymundo. Can you believe how busy this place is? Like, do you normally shop here at this time?
No, I don't. I don't normally shop here.
You don't?
No.
Yeah. It's busy, isn't it?
It's pretty busy. I prefer H-E-B.
Oh, me too. It's a great store.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe how many Checkers they're not here.
The owners are really nice of the company, H-E-B.
Of H-E-B? Really?
Yes. I've met Scott.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. How did you meet Scott?
he typically likes to go to all the stores and just talk with his employees.
Really? Yep. Do you work at HEB?
No, no.
No.
I used to when I was younger.
Oh, you did? How long ago was that?
8 years ago.
So are you from Houston?
Yes, ma'am, I'm from Houston.
Nice. So you worked at the HEB here in Houston?
Yeah, Tomball area.
Okay.
North of Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
They're from Houston, Tomball area. HEB is where they shopped. It's just a guess.
Yeah.
So how did you get that job at HEB originally?
A friend was working there, and I was going to college, so just
Well, the line
part-time.
Seems to be moving. So you were going to college. What are you studying?
Architecture.
Really?
I was studying architecture for 3 years before it became monotonous to myself.
Really?
More creative. Yeah, I like to draw artistic.
So you're not an architect now?
No, no.
What is
I gave that up.
You did? Why?
The
this
law.
This works really good right there.
The law aspect of it.
What do you mean?
There's a book about this big that you have to study for, you know, learning the codes and all that, and it didn't interest me, so I had to cut it off before I got too deep into it.
Yeah. So which direction did you go?
Tattooing for a little bit.
Really? Do you have any?
No, no. I won't defile my body.
Wow. So you did tattoos on other people?
As long as it's not, you know, satanic or, you know, those evil
type
of things.
Like you held the needle and did the thing on the people?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a machine.
Yeah. How long did you do that?
Just off and on. I didn't really pursue it. My cousin, he's the one that helped me with it because he's a tattoo artist. But now I just want to join these guys in fitness. So they both work as a professional trainer.
Who are these guys? They're at Walmart with us?
No, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jonathan. Jonathan.
Who's Jonathan?
He's a coworker of mine at this gym I spoke of in Houston.
In Houston. So at this gym, like, what do you do at the gym?
Right now, I'm working with the owner of the gym. Uh-huh. His name is Sam San. Uh-huh. He's a great guy.
The line's still moving.
He's a great guy.
Is he?
Yes. That's why I love working there with him. He's really generous and giving. Mm-hmm. That's how I consider myself, so.
Wow.
I just help construct the obstacles that he himself builds for the gym.
Nice. So did your architecture background have anything to do with that?
It did not. It was a long story on how I got the job.
Yeah.
And it's almost divine intervention, really, because I was planning to move down to Brownsville, back where I started to pursue tattooing, until Sam gave me the job literally the night before I was going to leave.
Wow. So how long have you been at the gym?
About 2.5-3 weeks now.
What do you like about it?
Oh, the environment. It's so welcoming for everyone. Anyone that walks in, you feel like family.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
That's really awesome. And rare, yeah?
Oh, very rare.
Yeah.
I've worked several places, and by far, I work 12, 15-hour days, and it's not even hard for me. I love it.
Wow. Is there anything you don't like about your job?
No. No, I love working with my hands.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So how long did you work at HEB?
About 3 years.
Yeah. What did you not like about HEB?
Everything. I mean, I loved everything.
Oh,
I loved everything. There was nothing I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Again, HEB is real Christian-oriented with Scott and everything.
Yeah.
They give back a lot, donate a lot of food. And
yeah.
So, you know, everywhere I've worked, it's been pretty passive on my part. I don't like to. I'm real calm and patient with everyone. Mm-hmm. So,
are you married?
That's a long story too.
You have a lot of history.
For the past 3 years, it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a lot.
So you're divorced? Separated?
Divorced. Yes. Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
Recently, actually.
That's terrible.
It was for 2 years I was married, and she was the first woman I ever met.
Wow.
I was 21 when I met her, and that was the first woman I ever been with, period.
Wow.
I promised myself back in the sixth grade I wasn't going to date until after college, so.
Wow.
I tried to hold on to that.
That's really, well, you did. You did hold on to that.
I'm not finished with college. Remember I cut it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. That's awesome. So any kids?
No.
You going to have any eventually?
No, I need to be able to, yeah, of course. I love children, but that's what I want to do, personal train with children, develop, you know, our youth. I think they're the most important part.
Tell me more about that. The line's still going.
Right now, my plan is to work with Jonathan, my friend, and maybe see where that goes, and with Sam as well. Sam, he's actually trying to open up another gym in Houston for Ninja Warrior type obstacles. 150,000 square foot building. He wants me to help him design it.
Wow. So tell me more about the kids thing that you want to do with kids.
Oh, I have two younger brothers and sisters, one that's right below me, and an older sister that passed away recently, April 24th. Yeah, she was 27. She was about to graduate from U of H. Yeah. And my father, he was murdered 3 years ago on Mother's Day.
Your father?
Yeah.
It's been a rough 3 years.
Yes, it has. I've been lost through some of it, but, you know, finding Sam is probably the best thing I've ever done. Wow. He reminds me a lot of my father, which is why I like going to work every day.
Wow, that's amazing. It's a rare find.
Ever since I was little, I've loved working. I love playing with my brother and sister. Mm-hmm. So I love children. I love helping them. I love the enthusiasm they have, the innocence. That's what I try to keep instilled in my qualities as a person.
Wow. Raimundo, I am so sorry to hear about the last 3 years, and I know that I didn't even get to hear all of it, but I really appreciate your love for the youth, and I appreciate the respect and honor that you've spoken about your past employers, with Scott Butts, obviously, with HEB, and also with Sam, with this gym. I mean, it's really a rare thing to find somebody who's just gone through everything you've gone through that is so edifying of other people.
It was all thanks to my upbringing, my father and my mother.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a blessing.
The weirdest feeling I had was the forgiveness I had for the guy that killed my father. I had no hatred towards him at all. It never crept in. And I felt weird for that. But I knew that's what my dad would have wanted.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I'm checking out. You know, I really would love to exchange contact information, because I would really love to check more into that gym. And just in case, I have a few contacts in the area, and there might
be... It's growing. Yeah. The sport is growing.
Yeah, and so there might be some people that need to hear about that gym. And so I'd like to maybe pass on some leads over to that gym for you to be able to help grow that.
Yeah, and Sam himself, him and his wife, they don't do any advertising. Everything's other members.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So when is a good time to get in contact with you so I can get some more information about the gym? And
right now.
Right now. Yeah. What's a good phone number? Give me a fake one. You're single and there's beautiful women in here.
603-900-9000.
603-9000. That's good. Yeah, so I'll get in contact with you, and I'm going to talk to a few people that I might know that, you know, might be able to benefit from what you're doing, and who knows, you know, there might be something mutually beneficial between who they are and what you guys are and all that kind of stuff. So
I would appreciate that.
Raimundo, it was really nice meeting you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Okay. All right. Wow. You're not done. Can I get a hug? I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
God called him. It was his time.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing happens outside of his perfect will. It just doesn't mean we understand his perfect will.
I don't try to understand. I go crazy trying to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've all gone crazy trying to understand it. Yeah, it doesn't work. That's why you have to surrender and trust.
That's what I've done.
Amen. It's obvious. It's absolutely obvious. Okay, so we're going to do another example of being at Walmart and trying a different approach. And I want you to pay attention to the differences in the approach. So we're going to start over there at the end again. And, man, this place is so busy. Can you believe how crazy busy this is?
It's packed.
Yeah. I mean, do you normally shop here at this time?
Yeah, I shop here around this time, right after work.
Is it usually this busy?
Typically, Walmart's always busy.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts. You know, you seem like a really kind of smart go-getter kind of a person. You know, I have this product that I think that you would really enjoy. It's a product that actually helps to grow hair, and it's really awesome. And I have these oils.
No, thank
and
you.
But see, these oils, they can even turn your gray hair black, and they can help. Here, why don't you smell this? Isn't that nice?
Your hand actually smells like something. Eucalyptus? What is that?
That would be thieves. Yeah. Anyway, so isn't that really nice? Would you like to come down to a presentation? And by the way, I also sell real estate here in the Houston area. You probably see my picture everywhere. And so you might want to buy a house, or do you have a house? Do you want to sell a house? Would you like to buy a house? You know, the rental market here is really, really good. It's some good investments that are in the area. And I also have some insurance, too. And so, yeah, because insurance, you know, with real estate is kind of important. And, you
Jack
know,
your health is really
kind of, yeah. So anyway, would trades. You like to come down to our Thursday night at the Hyatt? We have a presentation that we do for these oils. Here's another one. You might
if
like
I go, will you stop talking?
Okay, so this isn't going very well, is it? Not at all. Okay, but we're at Walmart. I'm the same person. He's the same person. What was the difference?
You took great interest in me the first time.
Exactly. I was interested in him the first time. The second time, what am I interested in? I'm interested in selling real estate, insurance, and oils. And some hair product that he does not need.
I might need it later.
I don't think so. You're Hispanic. Have you ever seen a Hispanic that's bald? I have never seen a bald Hispanic, ever. Ever. If you see one, it's by choice. They did it themselves. But typically, Hispanics don't lose their hair.
That's true. My grandfather's 68, and he doesn't have one gray hair on him.
Thanks, son. My dad is 70. I'm old enough to be your mother. Awesome.
I'm young enough to be your son.
Yeah. Are you 27?
24.
You are my second child's age. She's 23.
My sister was 27.
I know my oldest is 28. Yeah. Old enough to be your mom. Awkward. Awkward. Anyway.
Also a grandmother for some.
A grandmother of seven.
Of some. You might be able to be a grandmother of...
Yeah. My oldest grandchild's 9 years old. Soon to be 10, which means that I could be a great grandmother inside of the next... Let's not talk about it. If the trend continues, 9 years, I'm going to be a great grandmother. Anyway, the trend will not continue. We have a belt for that. Anyway. Okay. So the first example, I was genuinely interested in the man. Okay. So even if I do have real estate to sell, insurance to sell, or some kind of nutritional supplement to sell, it was not appropriate, especially with what he was spilling his guts to tell me. And I simply only asked him a couple of questions that got him to open up and share his story. Which, by the way, you need to meet Mary. I really want to interview Scott on my show. I love HEB. I feel like he loves my family. I really do. I feel like he does because he makes organic food affordable and very, very cheap. It's cheaper than any food that's in California that's totally GMO. He really promotes good, healthy living and all of that stuff. I mean, I really feel like he loves my family because of how he makes the food so cheap at his grocery store. I want to do commercials for HEB.
He also has a store called Jovie's.
I didn't know it.
You've never heard of him?
Mm-mm.
They're for lower income. They really cheap food.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I want to meet him one day. I'm sure I will. I live in a place where the first one was, so we'll get the chance to meet. So, yeah, they're awesome. Butts is all over the streets where I live. Yeah, it's a very popular family. Could you imagine having that last name? Your last name is Butts.
Richard Butts.
Richard Butts. That's bad. That's really bad. Those are the kids that were made fun of in school. They're a very wealthy family. Very powerful family. How many of you'd like to have the name Butts if it turned into a whole lot of wealth? Okay, anyway. So the first example, you were right. I took a genuine interest in you. And the other approach was is I was looking to give instead of to get. So he's excited about his gym. Okay, now let's analyze this. So what were his strengths? What are Raimundo's strengths? Huh? He's loyal. He's honorable. He's hardworking. Resourceful, humble. I would say number one is he's edifying. He's edifying and he's positive. He's very optimistic. Okay? So these are great strengths that any company would be very blessed to have involved inside their business. These are strengths that employers are looking for. Someone that's edifying, someone that is positive, someone that's hardworking, someone who is teachable, someone who is willing to build somebody else's dream, which is what he was sitting here talking about. Okay? What are his interests? He's interested in the youth. He's interested in family. Interested in health and fitness. Building things. Likes to work with his hands. Okay? What is a goal that he had? He wants to do fitness with the who? With the youth. Okay? What is a need that he have? I'm going to see who found this one. What's a need that he had? His need was working in an environment that was made him feel like he was a part of something special. That's what his job has filled. The job has filled the need of belonging. All humans have that need. He expressed it, that, oh no, this is the greatest place. You walk in and you feel like you're family. I feel like I'm at home in this place. Okay? So that's his strengths, interests, goals, and needs, and we found that out just simply by asking about family, occupation, didn't even get to recreation. He's talking all about these two things, and he gave me his sign. So I repeated some of his sign back to him. I really appreciate how honorable you are and how you edify people. And have nothing but positive things to say about your past employers. I really appreciate your heart to wanting to help the youth and to get the youth on a better track. You know, I probably would like some more information about where you're working and about this gym, because I probably know some people that could benefit from the company that you're working for. What's your contact information so that I can get in touch with you and maybe send some people along your way? Give referrals, you will get referrals. So in this place, because of the way that conversation went, it gave me an opportunity to start building a relationship with Raimundo. It was not appropriate after he telling me his father died, his sister died. Are you with me? He told me about a lot of tragedy. It's not appropriate for me to try to pitch him some kind of a money opportunity or some kind of a job opportunity or some kind of a dating opportunity. It's not appropriate for me to try to weasel a conversation in that direction. But what it was to help for me to give. And he mentioned, okay, that he likes to give and he likes Sam because Sam is a generous man. So he likes being with generous people. He likes to be generous himself. So here I have collected all of this information in just a couple of minutes, and now I have enough to build a foundation of a relationship with him, as well as to do a duty in my community, which is to help promote a business that obviously has some pretty profound values, which is really, really rare. How many gyms have you heard of that do things like that? Right? So the good thing that I should do as a citizen in that city is to talk about this gym and to talk about it to my friends, to my family members. Gosh, I just got to tell you about this guy I just met. Hey, listen, don't you work out? You have kids, right? Maybe you should check this out, okay? So that now puts me in a place where I can be helping to promote to my fellow man a business that is a good business that we should be collaborating with. I maybe even go and visit who Sam is, get to know who he is, form Sam, find out what his business needs are. Find out what his business strengths are so that we can collaborate and build community inside of our own township, okay? So the second example of me just going straight for the throat, promoting. Now look, come over, come closer, come in the light, please. Imagine that I did not know anything that I learned in the first example, but right away I'm trying to sell him my nutritional product. I'm trying to sell him a house. I'm trying to sell him insurance. But all along, what was inside of this man? His sister died April 26th? 24th. We're still healing. His dad was murdered 3 years ago. This is what the humans are that you're talking on the phone to have suffered from. This is what the prospect on the other side of the phone, or the customer that came into your bakery, or God forbid, Pastor Smith, the people sitting in your pews, Mr. Baker, Dr. Jones, these are the people walking into your office. These are the people walking into your grocery store. These are the people walking into the retail store. These are the people walking into your warehouse. They're carrying all of this. The whole package. Whether the package is his sister just died, his dad just died, he just got a divorce. Gee, I wonder why. You just went through hell for 3 years. The same 3 years that you got married. You got married right when your dad died?
A year after.
Yeah. No small wonder. You have had a lot of tragedy, and that can put a whole lot of stress on a relationship, no question. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of confusion without the know-how of how to handle it. You know, a lot of mourning that you've had. So it makes absolute perfect sense. Okay, so are you catching the picture? Are you catching what I'm throwing at you? Every person that you're talking to on the phone, you have family members that's going through stuff like this and you don't even know it. Yes. You don't even know it. There's people you go to church with that are going through this and you don't even know it. And nor do we typically care. All we care about is our own interests and the things we're excited about and what we're working towards. Write this down. Help other people get what they want. And you will get what you want. Everyone you know has frustrations. Everyone you know has strengths. We saw in this one package with Raimundo. This is a perfect example. One package right here that has such great attributes, such great strengths of edification and optimism and persistence, as well as gratitude for the childhood that he had and the maturity to be able to keep alive. The maturity to find a place where he can thrive in, a place that he can invest his life into, a place that he can give back to as the place has been given to him. This is incredible character. That's what this package is. But the package on the other side of the coin is what? Filled with pain, has been through hell, is young, and has suffered great loss in a very short period of time. The loss of a wife, the loss of a sister, the loss of a father. Do you understand? At the same time, you had the whole college career. I mean, you've been in a swirl, but your life has changed. It's changed, it's changed, it's changed, it's changed, it's changed, and you've been writing your story, and your story is going to shock people. It's absolutely going to shock people. And those who have inspired you, it's not by accident that you met Scott. It's not by accident that you've met Sam, but they've been inspirations to you that you will be one day to the next generation that is below you. That's what is to come. You will stand in their shoes and you will remain humble as those men have remained humble. But they have not elevated themselves. They haven't puffed themselves up, but they've stayed low and reaching down to the rest of us who need that reach from somebody in a position like that. This is who you're walking by every day. This is who you're driving by every day. This is one of the 2,000 people you know by the time you're 21. That kid has talent, and he's going places. He's going places. And we can look at him, prejudge, or we can do this. We're back at Walmart. The place is packed. You ready? And tell me, what are my odds of ever getting to find out about that fine individual that is behind me when I've just dishonored him, disrespected him, and treated him like he did not matter? Treated him like he was nothing. Treated him like he was a speck of dust as I looked over him, looked at the floor around him, looked to the side of him, and turned my back on him. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. And if you've had a lifetime of ignoring people, turning your back on people, looking around them, looking over them, prejudging them, denying them common courtesy of breaking the ice with, hello, do you normally shop here? Is it always this busy? Where are you from? Denying him a smile, common courtesy of interest. That's who we've become. That's what those darn cell phones have done to us. But it started within us. We're only interested in ourselves and only interested in our interests. That's it. Only interested in our hobbies, our favorite colors, our favorite foods. We like to like all the Facebook pages of the things we like. We like to ignore the person behind us in line at the bank, behind us in line at the post office, behind us in line at HEB. God forbid the checker at HEB or Walmart, the person bagging the groceries, and the person in front of us. We reap what we sow. Give him a hand as he goes back to his seat.
Thank you for everything you do. I researched you and I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. There's talent all around you. And I started this session with this. The law of promotion works in three places. Be faithful with the little, you'll be made ruler over much, much more. If with the little, like the stranger in the line in the public place, you are ignoring, you're not being faithful with the little bit of influence that you already have. If you are putting down the people you work with and live with, you're not being faithful with the little that you've been given. Therefore, you'll not be ruler over much, much more influence because you're not honoring the current influence that you already have. If we ignore people, we will have people ignoring us. If we honor people, then we will have people honoring us. Honor and respect is common courtesy. Eye contact, a smile, a quick conversation, being genuinely interested. And carry this mindset. It's one that I've carried for 24 and a half years. And this is what it is. Who can I help to succeed? That was my marketing plan almost 25 years ago. This December, I started my business. December 26th will be a freaking quarter of a century. 25 years ago. And that was my marketing plan. Who can I help to succeed? And it was one person at a time. One person at a time. And you know what happens? That very spirit, that very mindset, I want to help your life, comes across when you communicate. It comes across when you look in their eyes. It comes across when you're giving a presentation. It comes across when you're writing your Facebook post. It comes across when you're writing emails. I want to help you to succeed. I'm here for you, I'm with you, and I'm for you. It comes across in the advertising that you're going to post. It comes across in everything that you do when that is your motto, when that is your brand. I want to help you to succeed. But when your motto and your brand is this, I want to succeed. When your brand and your motto and your mindset is, I will succeed. That's a little different, isn't it? If you can help other people get what, then you will get what you want. So don't be so focused about what you want. Help other people get what they want. And you will be surrounded by people who want to help you get what you want. You got to cross over from this place of selfishness that we all live in and that we all struggle through, because we all have a selfish nature. But we can crush that selfish nature. Little by little, we can crush that selfish nature. And it no longer will be the thing that leads our lives, but instead that we live our lives to truly serve our fellow man, truly serve the other businesses that are around us, to truly serve our wives, our husbands, our children, that we truly just want to serve. And it's not so we can get something, but it's that we can actually make a difference, and we can make a difference. So what would I do in the scenario after meeting this young man? I would call him the next day. And by the way, there's a script in the back of this script book. You know, when I was first starting out in business, I remember so desperately wishing that I could just spend a day with one of the multimillionaires so I could just hear how they did business on the phone. I wanted to like sit across the desk, or I want to sit right by them and just, can I just ride in your car with you? I won't ask you any questions. I just want to watch you do your business. Have any of you ever had that kind of a desire before? I so wanted that so badly, right? And I used to wish that, you know, like, okay, like, slow down. I got to write down all the words that you're saying when you're talking to people. Like, I wanted to script everything out. So if I could just say the words, and if I could just record what they were saying, so I could then wear the posture that they were wearing. Because what I just delivered to you was a difference in posture of I will succeed at, no matter what the costs are, versus I will help you to succeed. Each one of those are going to produce two different things. Do you understand? In the beginning, it was, I will succeed. And it was all for me. And it was also that I could prove to my family that I wasn't a loser. It was so I could prove to myself that somehow I made it. It was so that the more that I bought, the more I could show. They were all trophies. The houses were trophies. The cars were trophies, right? The clothes were trophies. The jewelry was a trophy. Everything was a trophy. No matter how many trophies I had, I still felt empty inside. I still couldn't prove to myself that I had made it. And why? Because it was all selfish. But my friend, I'm telling you right now, once I crossed over to this place of living my life to serve others and to build up other people and to edify people and to help create opportunity for those people, everything changed. And now it was fulfilling versus empty. Now it wasn't about me proving anything to anybody. It was actually proving to the person that I'm believing in that yes, they can. And yes, you will fall, and yes, you will fail, but I'll be here. And I'm going to believe in you, and you're going to cross that finish line, and you're going to do an awesome job. Does that make sense? Because again, what you hand out, what happens to it? Comes back multiplied. It comes back multiplied. So I would call Raimundo the next day, and I would tell him, and I would edify him, and I would say something to the tune of, man, I really enjoyed talking to you. You know, and I couldn't help but noticing your desire for the youth. I couldn't help but noticing how you edified your boss, how you really promoted the gym. You know, those are some pretty profound skills that you have. Not only that, but you really have gone through a lot of hell, but you would never know it. You have such a humble spirit about you, and I really enjoyed meeting you. So tell me more about the gym. So I would ask him to talk to me more about that gym. Maybe set up an appointment for me to go check the gym out. Hey, I'm going to bring a few friends. I want them to check out the gym. Can you take care of these people? Yeah, sure. Then we'd be digging more into this young man about what some of his dreams are. Okay, so you know what? You were saying that you went to school for architecture. You pulled out because of the big law book. Well, what was it that drew you into architecture? So I want to get deeper in him of what some of his goals are, like other than just youth. But wait a second. You've invested 3 years of your life and a whole lot of money into this architecture idea. What do you want to do with art? Because you took the architecture to tattooing on people's bodies. Pues Raimundo, I have a few of them. Big ones. My husband wants more. It's really funny. I like those, honey. You should get more of those. Why don't you be the person with the needle? Look at all of you getting all religious out there. Does she really have tattoos? You'll never know. Unless you see me in a bikini, which you won't. So I'd want to find out more about this young man. He's got something artistic about him. He's got something that's calling out of him. So I'd want to find out what that goal is. And some of you are like, so what? He's a perfect stranger. Why would you want to know what the goal is? Because I don't know. Who knows? Who knows whatever happened to that, Jim? Who knows who, through our relationship, who he would end up telling other people about the real estate career that I have? Who knows as he becomes successful, maybe he ends up buying a house? Who knows, maybe eventually there's something entrepreneurial that starts to bud in him and maybe he starts asking questions about that kind of a thing? Who knows that maybe some of the friends that I meet through him might be a perfect prospect for my real estate or for my insurance or for my nutritional supplements? He knows 2,000 people. I do not know. Who knows? He might know some female that might end up dating one of my sons. Who knows? He might be a future family member. Who knows? He could be part of my family with the way my family is. You never know. He could be a cousin. I wouldn't even know it. Who knows? What kind of friendship or relationship could be developed out of that? Who knows where it could actually lead? Who knows who are the people that he knows? That could be a contact or could be a good business connection or joint venture in business or whatever. You build relationship, business contacts will come out of that. That's how we've built our business. Not through advertising. Not through sleazy PR work. Through word of mouth. One referral at a time. Let me show you how well it works. How many of you here in this room was referred by a personal friend? Can you look around the room? Who here was not referred by a personal friend? Go ahead, look around the room. There's less than 100. That means these other hands found us via Facebook, search engine, picked up a book at Walmart or Barnes and Nobles, saw me on Oprah. There might be one. That's how powerful she is. She doesn't stand a chance against word of mouth. She doesn't stand a chance. Secret Millionaire. Who saw me on Secret Millionaire? Okay, wait. Meaning that was your first introduction. Your very first introduction to DannyJohnson.com was Secret Millionaire. Okay. There's, I don't know, six. CNN. Not a single one. Oprah. One. Benny Hinn. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. More powerful than Oprah. So come on, I've done hundreds of television interviews with the most famous interviewers, the most famous. And the majority of this room, 90%+ of the room, was filled by a personal referral. And I don't know the people. I don't. You ready for this? There's this woman. She goes to my daughter's house in South Carolina. She says, You remind me of somebody. I just can't put my finger on it. So I'm going to figure it out. Gosh, you look like her. You sound like her. You kind of even move like her. I know it's a friend of mine. I got to figure it out. A year goes by. She's invited to my granddaughter's birthday party. She asks Christina where the bathroom is. She goes down the hall. And she sees a picture of Danny and Hans Johnson on Christina's wall. And she goes, oh my gosh! Why do you have a picture of Danny Johnson on your wall? She goes, because Danny Johnson is my mother. This woman felt so honored and so close that she told Christina that she reminded her of a friend, and she couldn't figure out who the friend was. I had never met this woman. I had never met this woman. I just met her 2 months ago because I surprised my daughter. My daughter takes a picture, puts it on Facebook, and said, look who came to town. So guess who came knocking on the door? And she stood there in the doorway screaming and jumping up and down. Getting Johnson down! Oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh! It's getting Johnson! I go, stop. Stop, please. I'm just Christina's mom. I'm just Christina's mom. Personal referrals. So I ask her, how did you ever hear about our website? She goes, oh, a friend of mine from Georgia. A friend of hers from Georgia calls her, and this woman's been feeding on the website for 3 years, watching the shows, reading the blogs, and feels like I'm her long-lost friend. Why? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. People can feel if you truly are interested in them. They can feel if you truly want to help them succeed. They can feel if you're out for yourself and you're out to make a buck. They can feel it. So change your scope. Change why you're here. And make it about them. And everything else is going to fall into place. And don't hold tight to the timeline or the outcome. This is where trust comes in, that you have to trust that it will go well with you, okay? So when you do a presentation, and you're presenting to a group of people, whether it's three people or it's presenting on the phone or whatever, you gotta make sure that that mindset is, I'm gonna help this person to succeed. I wanna help this person. Well, Danny, who am I? I mean, how can I help I'm a doctor, how do I help them succeed? Take the doctor hat off, put a leader hat on, of being genuinely interested in your patient and encourage them, edify them, lift them up, smile, give them the time of day. Give them awesome service. Treat them as though they are in the Ritz-Carlton instead of some stuffy, stinky medical office. If you've got a little flapjackin' restaurant, don't treat the customers like they're in a flapjackin' restaurant. Treat them as though they're in a fine dining place. And they're going to talk your place up like up and down like crazy. You see, there's something that word of mouth has the power to do that advertising doesn't have the power to do. And that is to spread really good news really, really fast. And through the years, it begins to multiply. Do you understand? Word of mouth multiplies. And no matter what happens to the economy, your business is still sustained because it has nothing to do with what the news heads are talking about. The bottom line is the people are there because of how you make them feel. It's all about how you make them feel that determines whether or not they're going to vote for your business or for you with their dollar. That means by hiring you, promoting you, using your services or buying your product. That is all on how you make them feel. How many of you can make improvements in how you make people feel? Okay, you know what I have time for? I can't believe I'm going to do this. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I get all these. Okay, so number one was what? Friends first, right? Okay. Number two is smile. Smile when you communicate. Number three is form. Form people. This is forming a rapport with people. Get them to talk about themselves, and then there is your message. In the back, and on page 38 of this script book, is the script that I used with Raimundo to get his phone number, okay? So that's a little script that you want to memorize. On the next two pages, 39, 40, and 41, you want to read that script back to him when you call him. It helps to guide your conversation along so that it's actually producing something, that you're actually building some kind of a relationship with him that will eventually lead to business, that will eventually lead to referrals, that will eventually lead to you giving referrals or whatever, okay? What number are we on? Four. Okay? Your product is people. We talked about that this morning. Your product is people. Your product is not your services. It's not the product that you're actually selling, but your product is people. Okay? Is that number five? No, that was number four. So now number five is you want to ask a lot of questions, control the conversation, get the other person talking about themselves. Okay? Number six, you're looking for their sign. All right? Number seven is you are listening, being genuinely interested. Celebrate what they celebrate. Okay, listen. I'm a 46-year-old grandmother. I do not work out. I don't have an interest in working out. Okay? I don't lift weights. I don't run. I don't even walk. Okay? I don't, you know, get on a bicycle that's standing still. But you would not have known that based on my conversation with Raimundo. You wouldn't know that I don't do martial arts, but I know quite a bit about martial arts because my husband is a martial artist. Like 10 different arts that he's in, too. Jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai is two that I'm aware of because I've watched him kick people's heads in and have them tap on the ground when he has them in a lock of some sort. Or he just touches your hand and, ow! Okay, I've watched these things. What was his name? Forget it. My husband just came. Did you hear about the conference that was in Dallas? Are you John? Who are you? Red shirt. Sorry? Ian. Who was Bruce Lee's, I can't believe, Danny Nisanto. You know that name? How do you not know Danny Nisanto? Okay, well, he was Bruce Lee's workout partner? Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, Danny Nisanto is in his 80s and he's still teaching classes, and my husband just came from one in Dallas last weekend. Yeah, my husband came up beat up. And my husband, he is a strong, beautiful man who's very highly skilled in martial arts. But my point is, I've never done martial arts. I have no interest in martial arts. But because my husband is interested in martial arts, I can talk martial arts. I can listen about martial arts. I can get interested in martial arts. Do you understand? So remember, what was that number, what? Six or seven? Listen for the interest. Get genuinely. Celebrate what they celebrate. Okay? So even though I'm not a workout person, even though I'm not the fitness person, but that's what I talked about to Raimundo. That was the bridge to the relationship was what? Fitness. Fitness was his interest. Therefore, I'm going to walk along the street with him about fitness. Do you understand? Okay. So next, number eight is compliment and edify. Okay? These are all things that I did with him. All right? So edify and compliment and encourage, okay? So that's what you do with your prospect. That's what you do when you're beginning to build a relationship. Whether it's a cold prospect on the phone that's a lead that was generated through an advertising campaign, compliment and encourage. Don't be fake. Look for the strength and edify the strength, okay? And that's what I did with Raimundo, okay? Number nine is, and we talked about this, was your body language has to be correct. And I talked about this last, that when your body language is saying, I want your MasterCard, I need to make my mortgage. My business is not going fast enough. So will you please buy my package? That is your posture that you're carrying into that conversation. And some of you are trying to build a business full time with not having any income at all. And everything that you're communicating, even though their words are saying something different, even though you're reading a script that is saying something different, everything in your 93% nonverbal communication is saying, I'm broke. And I think I'm going to be kicked out of my apartment this week. And you better buy something because if you don't, I am going to fail. So is it possible to have your nonverbal communication communicate something completely different? Yes, it is. Okay, let me give you an example. Husband comes home from work. Wife's in the kitchen. Hey, honey, babe, I'm going to go play pool with the guys tonight. I'll see you in a couple hours. You cool with that? You go right ahead. Men, what did she really communicate to you? You do, you're dead. You do, you're sleeping in the doghouse. Who let the dogs out? My little three-year-old was singing that song to me. He's never even heard it. Somebody taught him that. He said, who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof. Oh, Harvey. So do you understand what I'm saying? 93% of all communication is nonverbal. So if you're communicating, I need to make my house payment, I promise you, you might want to go hire a boss. Go hire a boss. Practice being an entrepreneur, building somebody else's company. Learn the skills of marketing. Learn the skills of entrepreneurship while you're working and studying under that person that's given you the job. study job domination, that system that we had that tells you how to dominate the job market, because those are all entrepreneurial skills that we're teaching you how to apply into your job. So you take the pressure off of yourself so that every blog that you're writing or every phone call that you're doing is not saying, I need to make my mortgage payment. Because if you're trying to build a business from that place of fear and financial pressure, all you're communicating is all the wrong stuff. I don't care if you're reading the words out of my script book or not. You're reading the words in that script book, the words are still saying, I'm broke, this isn't working, I need help, please help me, I suck at this. And at that point, you got to do whatever it takes to get the financial pressure off of you. Get the pressure off and build whatever you're going to build on the side as a bonus. Because when you build something on the side as a bonus, everybody wants a bonus, right? Everybody wants a bonus. Nobody wants pressure. How many of you have too much pressure on yourself already? So don't sell pressure. Sell a future, okay? All right, next. Ten. Have a true, genuine interest in the human. And it will result in the human having a genuine interest in you. This is how boy meets girl and they eventually get married, is because of the genuine interest that they have in each other. Okay? Let me give you another one, number 11. All afternoon I've been talking to you about sales. How many of you have learned some things about sales? Okay? How many of you learned some things about people? How many of you can apply this to your kids, the spouse, the people you're working with? Okay? All of this stuff makes you more popular with them. All of this makes them want to work with you. All of this makes you more attractive. This makes them not want to reject every single one of your ideas. Okay? It's the first, get genuinely interested in them, and then give them what they want, and then you get what you want. So let me give you a bonus. Okay? Actually, I already gave you the bonuses. One is that you don't want to be amateur sales. You want to be professional sales. Number 12 is use awesome eye contact. Awesome eye contact is so important. Eye contact says, and that's something that Raimundo had, he did a great job with it, is looking me straight in the eyes. Even if you're uncomfortable looking people straight in the eyes, it shows that you're confident. It shows you have nothing to hide. Okay? It shows that you know where you're going, especially when you have a smile on your face. People appreciate eye contact. How many of you appreciate eye contact? How many of you don't trust someone when they're looking all over the place? Okay? All right. Next is, I already said this one, be yourself. People can tell, they have a lie-o-meter. Oh, last, is this number 14? Is under-promise, over-deliver, which I already talked about. I already said that too. I said the whole outline, didn't even know it. Okay, under-promise, over-deliver. So what does that mean? Remember I said, especially, and this just goes for straight business, it even goes for marriage. Okay, if you say you're going to be somewhere, be somewhere. If you say you're going to do something, do something. Here's the combination for keeping a job. Do what you've been paid to do. That's how you keep your job. You want to get promoted in your job? Do more than what you're paid to do. Then you'll get promoted at that place. Well, some of you are doing more than you're getting paid to do, but you're not doing the more that is needed. How do you find out what the needs are of the boss or the business? You have to ask. You have to get genuinely interested. Hello? You got to learn new skills to go out and learn how to go and promote those things. Help to grow the sales, okay? Under promise, over deliver. Under promise, over deliver. If you're just doing the job you're getting paid to do, there ain't no bonus for you. But if you're doing more than the call of duty, now you're showing commitment. Now you're showing ownership. Now you're showing absolute value. Okay, well, did you learn anything? Awesome. I got through all of it. I can't believe I got through all of it. That's awesome. All right, awesome. All right. So to increase exposure, that is multiplying the places that people are seeing what you have. But it's also in increasing the referrals that you get. And we just spent all afternoon about that, centered all around referrals and serving other people. Increasing closing ratios, this is a really important thing. We're going to be talking about that on Monday. Monday is where we really focus in on sales and marketing. Who's going to be here on Monday? Yeah. So Monday we'll be focusing in on sales and marketing and increasing those conversion ratios. As far as the follow-up and cultivating, let's spend 5 minutes on that. Let me give some tips on follow-up because this is huge. Follow-up is where the money is actually made. The money, the initial sale is just the initial sale. It costs more money to go get another customer than it does to keep the current one and to get the current one reordering again and again, or continuing to use your restaurant or use you as a contractor or use you as an insurance broker, okay? So you want, when you get somebody, you want to keep them in the fold, and that all happens through relationship, the good times and the bad times. Do you understand? The good times and the bad times. A lot of people won't follow up because they are afraid that the person did not like the service. They're afraid that they didn't like the product that the person bought. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What's going to keep that person happy is your service. Ignoring them will not keep them happy. Do you understand? So you giving them the service and you giving them the personal touch, that actually will keep them with you longer. If they're not satisfied day one with your product, that's fine. Okay, they will be extra unsatisfied if you're not following up with them, if you're not reaching out to them, if you're not, here you gave this promotion that, hey, you cared about them and you want to help them, yet they bought the thing, it's like, wham, bam, thank you, man, you had a one-night stand. So that means you over-promised and under-delivered. So the under-promise, over-deliver is they get the product and let's say they don't like it, great, you're going to do whatever you can to make it right. And continue in the relationship. Maybe there's a different product to use, or you encourage them through testimony to continue to use, to continue to try it, to continue to get through that first week where it's not good or whatever. You know, the clothes are tighter than they thought it was, whatever. Whatever the service or the product is, the bottom line is they buy you. They buy your service, regardless if it's a product or not. So you want to carry that thing all the way through. So let me give you one of the biggest ones that I've been using for a really long time. I write about 1,200 thank you cards a year. Thank you cards are powerful. Did you not get the one I wrote you, Mrs. Harmsworth?
Was it letterhead or was it a personal?
No, I personally wrote a card to you. You guys haven't gotten it yet? Well, it's in the mail.
Great. Thank
you. Yeah, it's after I interviewed you. Yeah, I wrote it while I was interviewing you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why you don't have it. It's probably in a pile somewhere, but it's on the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was like a month ago, wasn't it? 2 months ago? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I write about 1,200 cards a year. Thank you cards are very powerful. Now look, the lazy person wants to say, can I just send a thank you email? Let's analyze that for just 1 second. Who does a thank you email actually serve? Yourself. Your conscience. You can relieve your conscience. Well, I did say thank you in an email. Okay, let me ask you quick. How many of you get too much email? Look around the room, please. Just a quick case study. Y'all are saying you get too much email. How many of you hate email? Oh, wow, can we look around the room again? We hate email. So even if there's a thank you in the email, come on now. So let me ask you. If you were to purchase something, let's say this. I can't imagine what happened to a restaurant if they actually bought into this one. Restaurants have people call to make reservations, right? Which means that now the restaurant has their what? Oh. And what if the restaurant called them the next day and said, thank you so much for coming in. I really enjoyed seeing you. Did you have a good time? I really enjoyed serving you that night. Was there anything that you thought we could have done better? Would you like me to make you another reservation for next Friday? We've got an amazing special coming. How many of you would flip out if you got a phone call from a restaurant? Let me ask you this question. What if you got a phone call from your doctor's office? You got a phone call from your doctor. Okay, I recently had a cap fall off of the back of my mouth, and my dentist... who there's never anybody in his office ever. Like when I'm there, I'm the only person there. There's never anybody waiting. I really wonder, is he really in business? Or is he only open for me? He literally called me twice after the day that my crown. I got it done on a Friday. He called me on a Saturday. Danny, it's Dr. Thorne, just checking in on you. How are you? Is everything okay? Everything still stable? Like, yeah. You're really calling me to make sure I'm okay? Yeah, no, When everything wore off, how did it feel? I said, it felt like you kicked me in the mouth. He goes, I know, I'm so sorry. You were there, I didn't kick you. I know. So what are you doing today? Just resting. It's Saturday, it's my day of rest. Well, you know what? You have my phone number, call me if anything happens. Just want to make sure you're okay. Like when I call the local radio station to go, Dr. Thorne is the best. What's hilarious is that our HR director sends out an email giving us a list of all the dentists and all the doctors that are on our insurance that we pay $25,000 a month for. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Anyway, I forgive you for increasing my insurance costs to over $250,000 a year. Thank you so much that I have to pay an extra $100,000 for my employees to have insurance that they never use. It's so awesome. Affordable insurance. Yeah, sure. Anyway, I forgive you. Anyway, so Joseph sends a list of all the providers. So I see this. He goes, here's a list of all the providers. I open it up, and I see, like, there's, I don't know, 20 different dentists. So I make sure that everyone in our office is like, no, only use Dr. Thorne. He's the best. But that's to our employees, right? So here I'm taking the time to send an email to my entire staff who can use Dr. Thorne for free. Like, you need to see Dr. Thorne. He's the only dentist you want to talk to. He's the best. Why? Because he did a follow-up call. Because he called me to say thank you and to check on me to make sure I was doing okay. The fortune's in the follow-up. And it's so funny. It's so funny. The highly successful businesses do it. The low ones don't. All they have to do is do what the highly successful ones do, and they're going to build a huge business. So who could you call and say thank you to? What about your vendors that you do business with? Some of you do business with vendors. Some of you have retail outlets. Some of you have customers that you've gotten because they've answered some kind of ad and you sold them some kind of product. Follow up. Who here doesn't have a job and are looking for one? If you've been on a job interview, follow up. Chase the HR person down. Guess what that shows them? It shows that you're persistent. It shows that you follow through. It shows that you get the job done. And that's what they're looking to hire. But if you just do an interview and never call them back, guess what? Well, Danny, they already told me no. Don't take no for an answer. Go back and show them that you are persistent. Go back and show them that you're going to be here. Go back and show them that you're serious about working with them. The fortune's always in the follow-up. So thank you cards is a powerful way. Another thing is some gifts. So something that we've done for a lot of times is that you can get a hold of CDs that have great messaging on it. For some of you, it really applies to your model. For others of you, it doesn't. But just something, just a little something that just says thank you and I appreciate you and thanks for everything that you do with working with us. And is there anything we can do to improve? Okay. What are some other ways that you can say thank you? I said a thank you card, a thank you phone call. Okay. Acts of kindness. By the way, on the thank you card, if you've met a prospect that you've really enjoyed talking with and you've made a good connection, yet the sale did not happen from them, this is a very simple thing to do. Okay. Is when you are communicating, when you write a thank you card, even though the business transaction hasn't happened yet, but you write a thank you for your time. And by the way, did Joey win his soccer game? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're forming them, you're finding out about their family, their recreation, you're finding out about their occupation. So you can keep forming them through the thank you card. So by the way, how was that birthday party? How did that? I hope everything came together great. When someone gets a random thank you card, it's a shock to most people. And that's how you stand out of the crowd. That's how you're different than everybody else who's just wham, bam, thank you, mammon. And a one-night stand. You started doing this in May?
Oh, my gosh.
It's changed everything? Really? Awesome.
Thank you cards. Everybody sends out Thanksgiving and Christmas cards.
You send them all the time?
I'm sending Labor Day cards. I just sent out 200 Labor Day cards.
Nice job.
Potential customers.
That's awesome.
I never get that. You're amazing.
Oh, you're amazing for following directions. No, seriously, you're amazing for following directions.
I met you in May, and I've been doing that, and I'm getting sales by not even talking about my product.
Did you hear that? All right, I'll let her say it in the microphone. Okay, cool. She's doing what I was just talking about, and she's getting results because of it. Where are we? I'm looking upstairs for last month. Stand up, gorgeous. I'm going to sit down because I'm a giant next to you. Hi.
To handwrite Happy Labor Day to potential customers, people that I want to do business with, I met, or they know of my company name, and now I'm getting sales without ever talking about my product. I'm closing deals without talking about my product. That has been the most amazing thing that I could have picked up from her, and it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of pain in my hand to write that out, but it's working.
Amen.
And I just got to keep doing it.
Amen.
And my business is going to grow, and I've got a vision to go where I've always wanted to go for my son's 35 years, and now my dreams are coming true.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for following directions. So, I have a friend who runs a billion-dollar charity. And everything is based on everything I've been teaching you all day today. Everything. Same exact thing that we do with our business. Same exact thing that they do with their billion-dollar charity. Everything that I've taught you here today. Everything. All the way down to the thank you cards. If you treat your business as though you are an account rep and you are assigned a certain people, and these people, your job is to cultivate relationships with these people, to follow through, you're going to be there when their kids get married and have other kids. Do you understand? You've got to foresee. It's just like the people that I work with today. Okay, some of my coworkers I've had for 24 years. I've been with in business. They start off as a customer. Now we work internally together, or we have been working internally together for 2 decades. So it's, wow, we knew each other when we were young, but we've built a relationship for so long that we've watched marriages, we've watched births, we've watched deaths, health problems. Do you understand? And that's how you have to see your customers, is that we're going to grow old together. You're like, Danny, I'm already old. You're going to grow older together. Okay? And that's the investment that you're making into the community. That's the investment you're making into the people, is it's not wham, thank you, ma'am, I want what I want from you. No. How can I help you to succeed? How can I serve you? So the next step is, and by the way, this is a beautiful thing to cultivate relationships in your community. How many of you have a business that benefits locally? Some of you don't even know. Okay, now, again, I had like 15 thoughts want to come out of my mouth at the same time. How many of you work a job? Okay, first of all, if you work a job, I want you to treat that like it's your own business. Treat that like it's your own business. If you treat that job as though you own it, everything is going to change. You're going to grow it if you treat it like you own it. Treat it like you own it. Treat it like it's your butt on the line if it doesn't succeed. Treat it as though that paperclip you had to buy. The post-it note, you had to buy it. Okay, that's not hard for some of you because you are the ones that have to buy it. But if that's not you, you treat it as though you own it, everything, and it's going to change. So, how many of your business is local? Okay, if you work for a contractor, that business is local. Restaurant is local. Okay, if you sell vitamins, maybe that's local. And there's some of you that have, how many of you have a business that can be more than local? It can be expanded, it can be global. Okay, how, Danny, do I build global? The same exact way you build local. You build it the same way. I'm like, no, that can't be true. No, everything happens from referrals, starting from the inside out. The inside out. Do you want something that's built to last, or you want something you have to rebuild every single year? You want it to be sustained generationally. So get involved with places where you're going to meet people that are going to take you outside of what your current small market is. And so business mixers are awesome. Get involved with your communities. Your community, like, I don't know, there's a community project of building a new playground. Get involved with it. Get sweaty, get dirty with these other people. You're representing your business and your brand when you actually do that. Here's another place that's very, very powerful. It absolutely changed our business. Get involved with the poor. Get involved with helping those who cannot help themselves. When you do that, it elevates your business, your brand, to a level that nothing else you could do to elevate your business and brand to that level. Nothing. People view your business completely different when you are helping to promote a cause that's bigger than your product or your service. So promote something that's greater, something that has to do with humanity. Even if you don't care about the poor, do it for your own greedy, stupid reasons. Until you move your ego out of the way. Stick with me long enough, I'll get that thing out of you. We'll start in November. Anyway, literally, the critter's got to go. Anyway, but when you have a charity arm to what you do and people are seeing you as a person because you represent a brand, you yourself are a brand. When they see you representing something that is bigger than yourself, now you are someone that they can respect, someone they want to know. Now you're somebody that is different than everybody else because everyone else is just promoting what they like, their product, their service, their idea, what's going to help them become rich and famous. That's such old news. It's disgusting. That crap's been going on since the 80s. Be done with it. It's not about bigger and better and greater than everybody else. That's stupid. It's about the difference that you're making right here in your local area that then expands to a more global thing. It has nothing to do with how big your name is. My name is nothing in my town. Do you understand that? Like, it's nothing. I go to Walmart like everybody else does. Sometimes I get stopped. Who the hell cares? I'm like any other mother. You're like any other mother. Or father. Or brother. Son? Don't want your name to be great. Make sure you do something great. Do something great with your life. We all got a shot. Doesn't matter how many days we have left. We can do something great. And together we can do something even greater. We can. So represent something that's bigger than just you. Okay? So getting involved in your community. Do some community things. There's all kinds of things going on in your community. Look in your stupid newspaper. It's all over the place. Get involved in your church. I don't go to one. Go to one. Danny, it's dangerous there. I know that. Dude, do I ever know how dangerous a church can be? But why don't you go there to be the difference? Be the safe person. Be the one that encourages people. Be the one to bring safety into a church. It's a bunch of broken people who need encouragement. So go and be the encourager in that place. Okay? You go to make a difference, to meet people, to help other people's businesses grow, to help refer other things. I promise you, you live like that, and you're going to have things grow like this. Do you hear me? You're going to have your reputation that goes far beyond anything you could have ever bought, far beyond anything you could have ever controlled. Do you understand? I will never forget being told I had to write a book that I didn't want to write. It was called Spirit-Driven Success. Mm-hmm. This was November of 2007. I was told I had to write a book. Otherwise, I was invited to speak in front of 6,000 people at a church conference, Dr. Morris Cirilla's World Conference. I was told I had to have a book. I go, well, I don't have a book. Well, you can't bring any audio or video. Well, I'm sorry. That's all I have. I don't have a book. Well, every speaker, Danny, has a book. You cannot be a speaker on this stage without a book. I was one of two women invited to speak. This is where the most famous preachers preach at. And I'm invited. What an honor. Like, I don't have one. Well, you need one. Okay, well, the conference was in 8 weeks, less than 8 weeks. Actually, yeah, this is November. The conference was January 2nd. So guess what happened? We wrote a book in 2 weeks called Spirit-Driven Success. Yeah. Did I have any idea that January 14th that I'd be on a television interview? When I wrote the book, there was no interview booked. No, a phone call came. Hey, will you come and be on our show? Really? And just so happened that was TBN, and then Benny Hinn was watching that show that night. I'm in the bathroom stall taking my monkey suit off, and my assistant comes, she goes, Benny Hinn is on the phone, and he's talking to who? Who? And how did he get my phone number? Benny who? Benny Hinn. Like, the Benny Hinn? Yeah, the Benny Hinn. The Benny Hinn guy, that guy? This guy? He wants to talk to you. Danny! Oh, so good to see you. Hey, I want you on my show. Can you come right now? I would like to interview for a whole week of shows. Will you come? You come right now. The Lord told me you need to come. Praise the Lord. How did that start? How did that happen? It all starts right here. Get your heart right. Form. Write some thank you cards. Talk to people, 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 talk to people. You never know who the people are that you're talking to and who they know. Just so happens a woman came to First Step Success, came for 3 solid years. First year paid off $33,000 worth of debt. Her husband was Morris Cirillo's assistant. And he ran the television show that they had. That's how I got the invitation to speak. The audios were playing in the car every day. He's like, who is this woman? Is this the woman? Is that, you're different since you've been going to those seminars. You know, you can keep going to those seminars all you like. She was saving him money. She wasn't whining anymore. She was getting healthy as a person, plus building a business on the side, relieving him from financial pressure. Do you understand? Talk to people, talk to people, talk to people, talk to people. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who that contact's going to lead you to. Write those thank you cards. Honor people. Lift them up. Edify them. Be genuinely interested in what others are interested in. Hello? You keep doing this. You keep doing this. You keep doing this. You keep doing this. And what happens? This happens. As she said, I'm selling product I never even got the chance to talk about. I'm getting customers. I'm closing deals that I never even had to present to. Why? Because what you hand out will come back. In the last 27 years, how many of you know I've seen the economy go like this? But I will tell you that our business hasn't gone like this. Our business has been pretty steady, pretty steady, pretty steady. Yes, there's been some years that have been really high, and there's been the other years that are not so high. But it's been stable. It's been profitable. It's been strong. No matter what's happened outside these doors, inside these doors, it's been strong. Why? Because you build a business based on word of mouth, and you honor people. That flies like crazy. And people will promote what you have. People will want to do business with you. People will want to work with you. As long as you are faithful with the little things, you'll be made ruler over much, 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 much more. Stand to your feet. I promised you at the beginning of the session that I would show you a way to talk to people that would help you not get rejected. Did I show you how to do that?
Yes.
I showed you two examples. One, how to reject. I showed you one, how to get rejected. And I show you one, how not to get rejected and how to get a phone number. So did I deliver my promise to you?
Yes.
I showed you that I would show you a way on how you'd be able to communicate with people where they actually want to know who you are. They want to know what you have. Did I show you how to do that? Yes, I did. I showed you secrets that work. I made a promise. I delivered it. We just scratched the surface. What I showed you was in the last couple of hours was for a session called Unlimited Success. It's 10 CDs that has so much more depth than what we just scratched the surface with. How many of you are at least going to go home and apply what I've already showed you? I have so much more to give if you are willing and teachable and hungry to learn. If you're willing to make the changes that you know you need to make, you're going to have some very quick success. There's something that I knew that 2 days ago that I felt in my gut, and that is there are some of you that right now that you're facing a decision that you need to make, that if you don't get serious and make it, someone's going to wash their hands of you and release you to your tormentors. There are others of you, they're in that same place that if you make the right decision, then you're going to have quick success like you've never seen before in your life. There are miracles on their way, already set up in motion according to your obedience and the decision that you're about to make. So be wise. There's some things you've heard this morning and this afternoon that you've not been doing that you know you should be doing. You're at one of those crossroads right now. Either you're going to be one of those that continues in that laziness, or you're going to continue in absolute seriousness. Those who walk in that absolute seriousness is, I'm not leaving anything unturned. I'm doing all 10 of those, and I'm doing the extras that she gave, and I'm going to inhale the entire enchilada. I'm not leaving no stone unturned. I'm going all in, and I'm going all for it. It's those of you who you're on that cusp. Do you understand? You are right there on the edge. It's a make or break season for you. The break season is going to be painful if you continue in the selfishness of your ways. But if you step up and you rise up and you follow the directions that have been shown to you today and the rest of the directions that are inside of this entire library, this entire university, then you're going to have a level of success that you did not know was possible. Things are going to become easy for you. They're going to be as smooth as a hot knife on frozen butter. Things are going to melt right before you. Obstacles that you've had for years are going to be broken down and disintegrate if you make the right choice. You're in charge of your chooser. It's time to be really serious about what has been given to you today. You learned some things. Now it's time to put those things into practice. We just had day one. Tonight, I will invite you. I want to invite you to my house, but obviously my house is way too small to fit the likes of all of us. I would love it if I could cook for you. I would love it if I could serve you my tiramisu. I would love it if I could make some great Italian food or Mexican food for you. I love, do I not love the tiramisu? I love to feed people that I love. There's really very few greater joys that I have outside of being a mom and a wife. There's very few greater joys that I have than to cook for people like you. But we obviously don't have that capacity right here tonight. But one of my most favorite things to do is to talk about the best success book ever written. I've been talking about that book all day today. I've been training you with that book all day today. But tonight, I'm going to ask that you weigh your ego with your bank account and see which one weighs more, because tonight we're going to have a bonus session. Tonight, there will be people coming from all over the place driving in just for what's going to take place tonight. Your seat that you had this morning is not your seat for tonight, because tonight is free and open to the general public. I'm going to be dressing down a little bit, getting a little bit more casual. I would encourage you to do the same. But tonight, we're going to actually look at the author who wrote all of these success laws, who developed the two percenters, who's given the 98 percenters the chance to cross the bridge and to come on over on a different side, the side of their destiny. Tonight, I'm going to give you 5 weapons to obliterate the opposition that's in your life. There's 5 weapons that you can use. You're going to get them in your hands. You're going to see exactly how to use them and how to destroy the opposition that has been around you. How many of you have had some opposition coming against you, coming against your character, coming against your dreams, coming against your health, coming against your future, coming against your family? How many of you had opposition coming against you? Well, get ready, because it's not by chance that you've been in that season, and I have also been in that season, and I've walked away with 5 weapons that are indestructible. These 5 weapons will take down the opposition that's coming against you, and you will rise to a higher level of great victory and knowing where you're going and knowing how to fight the good fight of faith and coming out on the other side of this opposition. So you're going to be prepared tonight with 5 weapons. They are 5 weapons that some you might already have, some you've never heard of, some you've heard of but have never had the courage to use. I pray that tonight you get imparted with the power to use these weapons so that you no longer fall victim to opposition, but that you're the victor against opposition, and you'll teach other people how to stand strong up against it. There's things coming against your businesses, your careers, your jobs, your finances. There's things coming against your family, your health. There's things coming against your future, your vision, your confidence. Those things can no longer from this day forward come against you after you learn the skills that you're going to get with these 5 weapons tonight. So I encourage you to come tonight. We're going to start at 7 o'clock. I would eat a light meal, a salad maybe, something healthy. Please stay away from the pizza. It's never a good idea. It will make you go to sleep. We're also going to start with a short session to kind of, I don't know, in my house there's live music. Every day there's live music in my house between my son who's a guitarist and the other son that's a composer with the piano. Always live music. When all 5 kids are in their house, Lord have mercy, it was a full band. 2 singers, guitarists, drums, you name it, we had the entire band. So I want to invite you into my kind of living room setting, that anywhere you sit in my house, the kitchen, the living room, the laundry room, you're going to hear live music. So it's going to be nice, beautiful music that's going to be in here from some artists that have traveled in. They're volunteering their time to be here. They're not here to make money for themselves. They're actually here to be a voice for the voiceless. And everything that they do, all of their music, they donate the money straight to taking care of the poor. So they're on a mission to spreading a good message. You're going to love the music. I listen to this kind of music every single day. So we're going to start with a short music session, and then we're going to go straight into the teaching. Five weapons that will obliterate, destroy the opposition that's inside of your life. Okay? So I look forward to seeing you tonight. Thank you for your time and your attention today. Go put into practice in the next hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes that you have some of the things that you've already learned. Good night. I'll see you later, 7 o'clock sharp.